brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the edge of Virginia and Tennessee, making our westward turn towards Texas. And I come to you here from the Appalachian Mountains. We are going to be live for the next 3 hours, and riding shotgun with us is Mike Adams. In fact, in about an hour and a half, I will bow out and Mike will fully take the helm, and he's going to have Jim Mars on to break down the Bilderberg Group and that journalist's take on what's been unfolding. And then he's going to have a gun expert on concerning Second Amendment developments in the last 30 minutes of the show today. The ATF is saying they may try to resurrect rulemaking to ban most shotguns as they tried last year. No law, just like they have all this new gun reporting stuff, is not a law. Or Obama shuts down power plants without a law. That is all coming up today. I've got probably 15 pages of notes here. I was on Coast to Coast AM last night, covered some of them. I've got a bunch of other big developments. I also want to talk about the disgusting Diamond Jubilee of the war criminal, Queen Elizabeth II. That in the 2012, our media, this morning I saw Rob Jacobson with my own eyeballs, the mayor of London, and I meant to call Watson and get him to try to find this. We were watching CNN. And he was like, it's incredible. You Americans, you messed up and made a big mistake. In fact, he even wrote the quote. It's, you screwed up in 1776. You don't get to properly enjoy this like we do. And all the people on the news are like, oh, yes, we wish we could. Look at her. She stood up and waved at the people. This is incredibly graceful and stunning and honorable. She is so amazing. I have entered the Twilight Zone here. I mean, I've gone beyond the Twilight Zone. We are living in insane asylum land. Now, this has been a long time coming, and it's just open treason against this country. But the CFR has openly announced, and a sitting current general, top general, has said they want the military to, the police to call in airstrikes with the military. I'm not joking. Go read it. It's at Infowars.com. Our money is being used to build a giant military machine up for us. 30,000 drones, armed drones, SWAT teams, checkpoints, TSA everywhere. This is it. I kept telling you this is coming. RAND Corporation run. Mitch Daniels, by the way, headed the RAND Corporation, the Hudson Institute, its main inner think tank. By the way, we got big news. The Bilderberg Group calls us cockroaches. Yeah, no wonder they. How do you poison cockroaches with fluoride? That's in the London Guardian. Charlie Skelton talked to the best sources, people coming out of the hotel yesterday that worked there. And indeed, they yell, they scream, they cuss, they curse Alex Jones, they curse Ron Paul. They call us cockroaches. They see us as cockroaches, and they're stealing your pension funds. They've signed you on to their 1,000 plus trillion in fake debt. It is all a giant threat to humanity. And people better decide, are they going to join the globalist collaborators? Or are they going to join humanity? The only way out of this is fighting the globalists. Huge news blitz coming up. Mike Adams, we're about to go to break. He'll be joining us back at the bottom of the hour. Briefly, as we go to break, what do you make of all this?
Wow, Alex. All I can say is wow. We've later on in the show, of course, we've got Jim Mars coming up with a few comments about Bilderberg. We've got James Yeager from Tactical Response, firearms self-defense training expert. But my thoughts, Alex, are wow on you and the crew out there. Let there be no doubt in anyone's mind that InfoWars is now the mainstream media. All the other media refuses to cover this. They won't touch it, even though their own representatives are actually in the meeting. Only InfoWars and really a few others. I mean, good kudos to We Are Change and Luke Rudowski and some of the others that were out there, Adam Kokesh, for example. But the coverage of this is being spearheaded by InfoWars and the entire InfoWars team, and you especially, Alex. Your picture's on Drudge Report this morning. Wow, and you deserve it. Great job. And we'll be back after this break with more. Any final, anything else to add, Alex?
No, just get locked and loaded, folks, because we're coming right back after this break. We're fearless and double tough.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is Monday, June 4th, 2012. I come to you from the road. Mike Adams is going to be riding shotgun with us today at the InfoWars headquarters in Austin, Texas. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. Jim Mars joins him in the hour after that. We're going to have Aaron Dykes and Rob Jacobson with their take on what's happening and deep research on the Bilderbergs' favorite right now for VP. And that's Mitch Daniels, the former head of Eli Lilly, the former head of the inner think tank of the RAND Corporation, which is the upper tower of the globalist eugenics mass murder complex. Super hardcore information coming up on that front. You can see photos that folks were able to snap of Queen Beatrix and, of course, Henry Kissinger and others, all up at InfoWars.com. Big things are happening. The facade that is Bilderberg, the facade that global government, shadowy corporate interests controlling government, using it to shut down freedom and steal resources, the facade, the lie that that doesn't exist and crazy people talk about common sense historical facts, is imploding because the dinosaur traitor media, collaborator media, for the last really 80 years or so, has sat there and lied to the American people. The robber barons bought it up in the last 100 years, accelerating the last 80 or so since the 1930s. They engineered the Depression. That's been declassified to try to get government control over America, get us into Social Security, make us dependent, basically end states' rights. And they've taken over our society, but they haven't fully taken over our minds. We can always awaken from that trance. Here is the huge news up at InfoWars.com. EPA using drones to spy on cattle ranchers in Nebraska and Iowa. That's Kurt Nemo, the 30,000 drones. We've got Bilderberg members label protesters cockroaches. Charlie Skelton was able to talk to some of the hotel staff. Indeed, they're cursing the protesters because they get yelled at by them, talking about how they want to kill Ron Paul, kill the protesters, kill the Americans that are aware that the criminals are meeting inside. They're guarded by Marines illegally. That's confirmed. Marines driving around with their Marine Corps plates, running security, just absolute criminal activity. And then that segues into this piece of news that I think is probably the most important today up at InfoWars.com. CFR proposes using Army to enforce domestic law. Now, they've gotten rid of Posse Comitatus in everything but name. We got documents and got video in the late 90s with Marine Corps, regular Army, National Guard checkpoints, just in Texas, the middle of Texas, all over the country as well. We got footage in Hebron, Maryland, the list goes on and on. Alabama, California, Michigan. Marines would come over with guns in the middle of towns like Hebron, Maryland, and say, turn your camera off. With the police, but Marines with guns would start pointing them at people. I've had the Army come up with sidearms on and say, turn your cameras off in America. So they keep telling you it's for terrorists, but the Army general goes on, writing for the Council on Foreign Relations. They go on in the report and they say that, oh, we need the police to be able to call us in for any reason. Well, that's what's been going on by stealth forever. That's what's been happening by stealth. I mean, I kept saying there's urban warfare drills. The military is dressing up in generic police uniforms in Norfolk, Virginia. Documents, witnesses confirmed in Dallas, Texas, in Houston. They're raiding gun dealers' homes. They're raiding farmers that won't give their property up. The Army is already engaging and pulling triggers and killing U.S. citizens. They did it at Waco. That's been declassified in the congressional hearings. And they're like, oh, yeah, right, and the Martians are going to get us? Well, now they admit the FEMA camps. Now they admit the re-education centers. But they're like, it's for your own good. There's a giant arms race with our money against us, and our military is not our military anymore. That's not figure of speech. It openly is under UN NATO treason command. We've been infiltrated. We were taken down. And if you're a new listener, just check that out. But you've got to get the military informed here. You've seen the cases in New York where a woman hears my show and hears that her local base has a emergency internment facility. It's listed in the civilian inmate labor camp program. Remember this 2 years ago? She goes out there and starts videotaping from the front gate. They come. She legally has a shotgun in her trunk. They take her to jail. And last time I heard, the Army hadn't released her. I mean, the Army grabbed a woman with no criminal record who went out, and Fox is like, good, good, they got her. Again, you're trained on the bait of the foreigner, that at a primitive level, men are designed to see, the clan over the hill is the enemy. They say, look at these guys. They don't dress like us. They look like us. They're going to get you. They're Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda really works for the banksters on record now. All the major Al-Qaeda leaders, even mainstream news admits, meet at the Pentagon, the 9/11 mastermind, 7/7, a SWAT, all of it. It's all a fraud. And that's the key here. This is premeditated. I told you all this was coming. Now they say it's here, but only because things are collapsing. I mean, look at USA Today. America's yes, but economy, the recession officially ended 3 years ago, but the recovery has been a frustrating mix of good and bad news. I mean, this is like Pravda in the old Soviet Union. This is cartoon level. The next article, states weigh motorist taxes. One idea, charge for miles driven. Then they go on to announce, oh, it's actually being done. It's all written to be non-threatening. And they say, we're not getting as much tax money off gas. You go look at the actual numbers. We're using more fuel than ever. They're getting more taxes than ever. It's just a pure lie. And they say in the USA Today, everyone will have tracker chips by the state authority under federal control that will track you. Doesn't matter. All the new cars are coming out with it anyways. Folks, this is all a literal panopticon technocratic takeover in their own words. And that's been pre-planned for a long time. Here's a book I'm going to get to in a future show or today if we have time. Future Government, United World Federation, Our Future World by Harriet S. Ables. And there's a whole series of these inside here, a whole series of these books on future travel, science, space, food, family, communications, medicine, business, government. I actually remember, this came out in 1980, this series. I remember reading these in the library. And it says world government, you're going to live in communal homes. Everything we thought was new that we heard from Zeitgeist, none of it's new. Everything that, oh, the Soviets said they were going to build in Russia, this is what they always, it's just all the little kids in their spaceship happy, and it says world government, space federation, and everything you do is going to be controlled. It says here is the flag of the one world government that everyone will serve, everyone will share and pay taxes to. It says drones will watch over you and make sure you're good and carry out suicide missions against bad people. I'm actually quoting this. See the drone? This is 1980. It's all been pre-planned. This is all RAND Corporation. In fact, I went and looked it up. Direct connection. And this is who they are. There's the new planetary megacities. You're not allowed to go outside of them. War will be over, of course, with the world government. Yeah, sure. And it says right here, world government. See that? World government. World government. Ladies and gentlemen, we are bathed in propaganda. And I know you know this, but if we can just get the general public to realize that all of this is like a matrix of fake news, disinfo, brainwashing, and that there is an organized criminal group that doesn't just want to dominate and take over. They openly say that once this thing is in place, they're going to organize the predatory killing through wars, bioweapons, you name it, of at least 80%. We are changed. Just got an interview with Ted Turner. In fact, guys, I wanted to play that a few days ago. Did you guys ever grab that? Yes. Yes, I want to play that today or get Mike Adams to play it later if we run out of time. People. But hey, you have five kids, and but he's got five children, and then he runs off and gets mad. This is the reality of what's going on. These people want to kill us. 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 There's no quarter. It's not, oh, Alex, you're a hero for going and exposing Bilderberg. We don't have any other choice. Now, I could have gotten in the media, given the globalist trouble, and parlayed it into a position in their system. A position with pure evil? No way. And by the way, they're going to destroy most of the people that serve them as well. These people are megalomaniacs. Here's an article, Bilderberg members label protesters cockroaches. It's up at Infowars.com, red linked. And it's linked to the London Guardian. Charlie Skelton did a great job covering it, along with other reporters from the Guardian. He was able to talk to hotel staff. That's how you get intel. I've been so busy, I haven't even hardly called my sources back to last day. I'm going to have a lot of stuff breaking. And indeed, they call everyone, they say to the hotel staff, are the cockroaches, are the scum, are the filth, are the bleepers still out there? Are the Ron Paul effers still out there? And when they drive through us being bullhorned and they get out, they scream, I want them dead. I mean, this is really going on. The Guardian has confirmed this. That's what they're talking about. They hate you. You know how much pleasure they get hurting little children? The feeling of satisfaction, Bill Gates, who was secretly there, has now been confirmed by the Washington Post, who's always been members, but now is reporting on it, the family, the Graham family. He loves the fact that it's hidden in plain view that 46,000 children got paralyzed and many of them died from the polio vaccines they forced in India. I mean, they're just killing them. I mean, this is a sacrament to them. And when I see my children, other children, how innocent and good they are, it makes me totally sick at my stomach knowing these murderers are awake and we sleep and they're able to run around doing this to us. I come to awaken humanity.
Federal agents, we are armed! What would you do if you knew all the things we know? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong?
Or would you just go along with the tyranny and walk away? I got a message for the globalist. I watch, I see all your crimes, and I've come to try to awaken humanity to the threat that is taking place right now. Mike Adams is coming up, Jim Mars and more. Look, it's very simple. We have to identify the shadow government, and we have to identify the hijackers, the usurpers of our nations, mindset, their program, their plan. It's scientific dictatorship as a means to exterminate their more internal documents and more esoteric documents, say about 99%. Publicly, UN Biological Diversity Assessment, 96. All the globalists, they say 80 to 90. Because they don't want to tell the professors and the minions that are all into this. I mean, go to any university around you. Most of them are like, yes, kill everyone. They feel real special. These are very sick people. They're anti-human. They're in these weird mutual adoration clubs with each other. And it's very simple. You don't progress in the universities unless you're a eugenicist. Just like you don't progress as a police officer unless you're a sadomasochistic, you know, person that enjoys raw power and following orders. There's plenty of good cops, but they're out writing tickets and generally get out of their work because they find it unfulfilling. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is real. They're going to kill everybody. You've seen all the preparations that I told you would unfold happen exactly as I said, because it's all CFR. It's all Federal Reserve. It's all UN. It's all RAND Corporation and Hudson Institute. I mean, Aaron is in there with just hundreds of documents right now. We were given a bunch of Bilderberg documents from a government leaker. It's so overwhelming. And you see people asleep and you want to warn them. You want to tell them. You want to do something. I love humanity. I love all the innocent people I see. It makes me upset to go in public and see children now. And people are like, oh, you're so good to care. So good to care. What? We're being murdered here. Now, I want to go to a report that's up on the Drudge Report. If you go to the Drudge Report, my wife and children are really tickled by this because they like the Drudge Report. They also like Wired Magazine online. That's what my wife on these sites constantly. I guess everybody is. But, big image of myself protesting the Fed a few years ago. I guess it's the only protest image they have. It's pretty good. And it says, Bilderberg 2012, protesters hail their hero, Alex Jones. And it's a very fair London Guardian report by Ryan Devereux. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it goes over the fact it's a pretty powerful article. It's not just about Alex Jones. It's about the fact that Bilderberg is being exposed, that there's a wide-ranging movement against global government developing and unfolding. I mean, these globalists, ladies and gentlemen, are so cynical. It's like Bono. He's a Bill and Melinda Gates front. He admits he is. He gives right at 1.3% of the money he raises for, quote, African children to them. And with it is strings attached to be sterilized and everything else. I mean, it's hellish. And people are like, oh, isn't he humanitarian? It's all a sick joke. You know, I go back to this article that is at Infowars.com where they are talking about how we're cockroaches. And I've been told by Hispanic journalists from Mexico, and I went and looked it up, and that is the case. That's what the elites down there have called the Indians, which are, you know, people who don't have a lot of European blood in them. They call them the cockroaches. And if you watch the Mexican Congress, it's all like 6'3" people with blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, Vicente Fox is about as dark as people get in that government, and he looks like a pure Spaniard. And I mean, it's all about not interbreeding with anybody that's not a Spaniard, and it's all there. And they call the people cockroaches, and then they fund the Ford Foundation to try to teach anybody who's Hispanic, you know, Spanish descent and Native is really what it is. You know, Native American, they try to teach him that, you know, hate freedom, hate guns, family's bad, all this garbage, and you're going to bring down America. Well, it's the very globalists that have brought down your country. You know, they brag that Walmart's deindustrializing Mexico and ruining all the local businesses, too. That's in USA Today. They're very, very proud of that. So this is the system we're facing, and they see us as cockroaches, and they love the fact that all mammals fed, the BT corn and other systems are completely, it's like 99%+ sterilized, mutations, organs on the outside of their body, hair growing in their mouths, and we're starting to see this happen with us. I mean, they're murdering us, folks. You're being murdered right now by these people. All of you that serve them, we're all being murdered. I mean, they are murdering us. They see us as cockroaches. I got news for you. You're the cockroaches, globalist. That's why you've got all these underground bases, so when you release the bioweapon, you can go underground. We'll be back with the Bilderberg agenda.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back live. We're going to have Mike Adams riding shotgun with us here in a moment. Then I'll leave in about an hour from now. And Mike will take over with Jim Mars and others. Continued Bilderberg coverage as we identify the enemy, the usurpers, the covert infiltrators that are now trying to normalize. Yeah, the army's on the streets to take you on. You're a terrorist. So the local police can, quote, call in airstrikes. That's in the CFR document. And it all started with, 20 years ago plus, covert operations defusing bombs. But don't scare the public, police. The army's here, and they're going to wear generic police uniforms. You're part of the secret club now. Yeah, violating posse comitatus. The national security state did this illegally. Then they told you it was for Al-Qaeda with the public rollout after 9/11 that they staged. Now they're shifting away from Al-Qaeda they publicly run to, the army's going to be part of Rural Affairs Council, and it's going to be in your town. Plainclothes military. And I faced them at Bilderberg. And we have footage from Hebron, Maryland in Police Day 2000 of 10, 11, and 12-year-olds in white shirts, the Boy Scouts, going in their parents' houses and coming back to the Marines in plain clothes and in full garb and telling them what guns they had. And they said, oh, it's just part of a fun drill, just like Arcadia, Iowa. That was in the newspaper. Yeah, they're doing door-to-door gun confiscation drills. I come out and pointed out, hey, the paper says door-to-door gun confiscation drills. They practice raiding the gun shops. But the gun shop owner says he was helping, and he's mad at me for being a conspiracy theorist. They admit they're trying to take over our gun shops and door-to-door gun confiscation in the Arcadia newspaper. And I had the colonel on, but then I'm bad because I didn't like it. And they suddenly went, well, this is for Iraq. Oh, yeah, sure it is, like Katrina was. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to talk to the military now about this. You got to talk to the police. You got to decide what side you're on. When I talked to the police at Bilderberg, it was one of the head guys there was the head of the SWAT team 4 years ago, and he was there for riot control. He was like the head guy over that. What was his name? Lee. I think first name. He says it on tape. He's the cop comes over and says, yeah, I listen to your show. I like it. And then later he got in trouble. They said, don't talk to him. But later we talked to him. And he said, and we talked to some of the other guys later. The whole SWAT team listens there in Fairfax County. A large numbers of the police didn't know who we were 4 years ago. After bullhorning 4 days, they were writing it all down and looking it up. This time, as I was bullhorning, they were sitting there with iPads looking it up. And I said, look up the Secretary of Defense saying the UN and NATO command the military, not Congress. An hour later, they were going, my God, it's true. I said, okay, now look this up. And other cops are going, see, he told you. Then they'd send out these higher up guys who would try to start fights. They would call the cops out to get in front of us for no reason and then threaten people. I dare you to step on the street again. And the other cops are like, don't do it. We'll get in trouble if we don't arrest you. I mean, I could see the whole thing right there. And the head cops, they had to bring in like the head guys in like full dress uniforms, were flipping out. We're flipping out that the police were all waking up. And by the end, we're like, who supports the Constitution? The police were raising their hands. They came over to the Guardian reporters, see, not just me, and said, oh, yeah, we hate Bilderberg. We know they're evil. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. You can do it in your area. It's an emergency situation before they set off nukes or something and blame it on patriot groups. This is real. They plan re-education, mass arrest. I'm getting total chills right now. We can defeat these people. That's what's so frustrating. But you've got to get involved yourself. It's not just Alex Jones. People say, oh, you're so brave, they could kill you. I could care less, ladies and gentlemen. I love my life. I love my family. But there's no future if we don't beat them. There's not a choice. Do you understand that? That's why I always go into my thought process. You can understand it. There isn't a choice. It's real. Look at it. Look it up. Find out it's so much more horrible. Aaron, who's somebody who never cusses, stomped around the bus all yesterday and last night, couldn't go to bed till like 3 in the morning, because he was finding more and more documents and Rand Corporation, all Bilderberg, all eugenics, poisoning the food, blood with HIV in it for little kids, the hemophiliacs, mass murder, death, killing, Eli Lilly, all of it. I mean, it is so incredible what they've done to us. And I know I'm ranting. Mike Adams is going to be again doing the second half of the show today. He's here doing traffic control right now with us. Mike, I want to run through some more. We've got Aaron coming in with a breakdown on Mitch Daniels in the next segment. But seeing all of this, this lawless government openly declaring war on us, openly saying, yeah, we spy on you without warrants. Yeah, there's drones in the skies. Yeah, we're delivering armored tanks to local police departments. Yeah, we're gearing up for war with you. Now, yeah, we're getting armored pillboxes for the highways. Yeah, we're buying 450 million rounds of 40 cal. Yeah, we're doing it. I mean, it is on. They are getting ready, Mike. It's coming soon. And we've got to absolutely get the word out like Paul Revere's of every race, color, creed and religion and male, female, you name it. We have all got to do maximum effort right now, and we can back them off. But once they pull the trigger on this, Mike, it is going to be one bloody civil war. I'm going to get arrested. You're going to get arrested. It's going to be dead cops and military everywhere. The next wave plan is public. They're going to bring in I-4 NATO. They're telling the military this. Hell on earth is about to be released. We are in an emergency brinksmanship operation. We've got to just 110% pedal to the metal, hammer in against these people in the info war. And it may be like the Alamo. Some of us may get wiped out up front, but that's what it takes to win against these people. There is no future if they're not defeated. Info war, 110%. What do you say, Mike Adams?
I say this is real, everybody. What you are watching, what you are witnessing, I believe this is the most important transmission taking place right now anywhere on the planet. what InfoWars has put out, what Alex is telling you, is real. I concur with his analysis and the breaking news that he's been bringing us. But look at what's happening. Because this is being exposed, because of the work of InfoWars and all the supporters and all the people out there who are helping to expose this, and this is my question to you, Alex, I'd like your analysis on this. Is the so-called global elite, and again, I hate using that word elite because they're more like global scum, is the global scum planning on accelerating their own timetable because of the awakening? And the second question to
exactly.
You. Go ahead.
No, they have put so much in motion, they can't even probably fully stop it themselves. And analyzing them, they're scared now, but they're still arrogant and so used to winning that they are still rolling forward. And they have got to know that we see them, we know who they are, we know who to blame. And again, when government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And let me tell you, there were a lot of people out there packing heat. There are people out there with 44 mags, you name it, open carry. Again, that's one of the biggest revolutions is the open carry. Thousands have been arrested doing it, even though it's legal in every state but a few cities like New York. And the fact that that was happening too, that the Bilderbergs hate that. Look, you're not getting our guns even if you ban them. You're not stopping us. If you want the Civil War, go ahead and try it. And we were there peaceful. But the fact that Bilderberg understands they are having an attack on real humans, that they are savagely attacking us, and humanity at an instinctive level is activating right now.
Well, okay?
It's happening.
And the other red flag, the big sign that came out of this, there was talk, Jim Tucker reported there was talk of within the Bilderberg group inside the hotel there of wishing that Ron Paul would die. There's talk of murdering people, murdering the protesters, treating them like cockroaches, crushing them. There's now this sort of open hatred, which is, of course, a reflection of their core philosophy of eugenics, which gets into GMOs, it gets into fluoride, it gets into vaccines.
Listen, we had people all around the building bullhorning so loud, I got migraine headaches. I mean, you could see me on the videos having to go to my knees with daisy chain, 10, 15, 20 bullhorns going so loud in unison, feeding them, daisy chaining, that the windows were shaking. The Bilderberg members and were coming out with their mouths hanging open. They heard it. And I mean, this was guttural. There were other people there just like, rah, they knew, they understood. Kissinger looked freaked out. Beatrix looked freaked out. And they should. You're killing us. We don't have any choice. We're all in. We get it. Okay? The chips are down. We understand it. Most of us aren't going to make it through this. We know you've got the super bioweapons, the underground bases. We know you're already killing us soft kill. The hot kill's coming. We're committed. We understand. There's no future if we don't expose you. Okay? We get it. You want to just quietly kill us and have your deindustrialization Walmarts go in. I've got an article right here out of USA Today. Where they admit Walmart is paying off the officials, but they say that's the American way. And the Mexican government makes everybody use smart cards now, so all the little shops can't get their business, and they're taking over and shutting everything down. They're now the biggest company in Mexico. I mean, this is the deindustrializer. This is the global takeover using Chinese slave goods to leverage the planet. This is a strategic RAND corporation, scientific dictatorship program. That's why they're shutting down the Amish. That's why they're attacking people selling peaches on the side of the road. They know humans are figuring it out and trying to run to the hills, trying to get back to basics. Instinctively, the human survival instinct, despite all the fluoride, the poison, the GMO, the attacks, the human emergency survival mechanism that they've tried to shut off by saying humans are bad, we hurt the earth, that's only at a conscious level. Subconsciously, the will to survive is now activating. And I'm telling you, even with mainstream media being there, even the Guardian people were sold on the fight against the New World Order now because of the facts they saw. Two different writers, the Washington Times. You see, once some of the mainline media starts reporting, it forced all the others, and it's the same thing. This is how the dominoes start falling. This is how we have our Trenton, New Jersey victories in the info war, and now force all this out. This is big, Mike, and they're probably going to do some counterstrikes very, very soon.
It's huge.
This is big.
But one of the things that you demonstrated, now observing your activities there, your bullhorning, the protests, everything that took place over the weekend, from an outside perspective, one of the key things that you demonstrated was that aggressiveness works because the global elite and those who are guarding them are actually cowards. So when you were aggressive, but not violent, and I want to point that out, you were aggressive in talking to the police officers there in asserting your own rights. You were able to do things that shocked other people. Remember when you just crossed the street? You cross the street and the crowds were cheering because the cops there were saying you can't cross the street. And when you got to the other side, you said, wow, it's the new standard of freedom is in America is that we can cross the street now without getting arrested.
Well, again, the reason what happened with the police is I walked over. The Guardian couldn't hear it, but it was on live stream. I think there's a recording of it. And they're like, look, we're being ordered to do this. They're watching right now on the video camera across the street. And I said, it doesn't matter. This is a side street. Would you on a normal day stop somebody here? I've looked at the code. I actually looked it up because they've been doing it. You know that this isn't a law. And I said, is this really what you want for your children? And the cops just said, that cross the street. I mean, look, it's real simple. Hey, you want your kids to live like this, buddy? You want to live in North Korea? I mean, the truth is that the cops were all there, including senior ones, captains and people, saying there's audio and video. We're being watched. If we don't do this, we get in trouble. And I said to the cops, I said, well, so you're just going to do whatever you're told. And they said, no, we're not. You can cross the street. And then I looked at them and I said, that shouldn't have been a big jump for you. I said, the new standard of freedom is we can cross the street in America. This is worse than North Korea. I didn't say, oh, thank you, like some of the folks in the crowd did, that they weren't bad. I'm like, look, this is a very sad moment that you had to refuse orders and let us cross a legal little side street. And I said, by the way, you've got this pushed all the way out to the major road where it's dangerous. You're telling people to cross the street and go around the other side just to make people do what you want. Your higher ups are going to get somebody killed. And the cops looked at me and they said, he's right. Move the cars back. Move the line back. Everybody can cross the street. I mean, I talked to them like they were humans. And I said, do you really want to live in a country like this? And I'm right there with the commanders on a big surveillance pod right across the street watching their own police. And I just said, so this is what you're going to do. And again, if somebody's got any humanity left, this story of the police is a microcosm of every other battle we face. When you destroy someone's rights, police, you're shooting a hole in your own boat. Okay? You notice as the liberties go out the window, the prosperity's going out. The oxygen's leaving the room, ladies and gentlemen. They're going, yeah, there are re-education camps. Yeah, we are listening to without a warrant. Yeah, the UN does run our military. Yeah, we are going to use troops from foreign countries against Americans. This is in the newspapers now, Mike. I mean, I'm even blown away, though, that we were this right. But I guess I was just reading government documents. But to see them go ahead and do it, but this happens in Germany and Russia. People can't believe it's happening. It's really happening. But our forebears with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, put in those emergency switches. They gave us powers that other countries had not fought for and attained, Mike. So we have these swords and shields. We have the weapon, the mighty, mighty, mighty Thor hammer. If we use what the founders fought and died for, and most of them lost everything they had, including their families, we have these weapons forged in the fires of liberty, but we must use them, Mike.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, Alex Jones is speaking here, Mike Adams filling in. You are watching History in the Making, I believe, one of the most important transmissions. I also believe that when the revolution is successful, the peaceful revolution of taking back our republic, that InfoWars' actions here and what just took place in Chantilly, Virginia will be a highlight of the history books. And of course, if for some reason the revolution doesn't go our way, then of course they will attempt to write off InfoWars as never existing, just as the mainstream media is doing right now. Just
Mike,
as they
we must prevail. Yes. At least 90% of us are dead if we don't prevail. I mean, there's not a question. Folks, that's the thing. This isn't just some conquering group that wants to run things. Okay, this is a group of scientific, crazy people who write thousands of publications how they want to end the family and kill most of us. I mean, there's no quarter. You know, when the pirates, a white flag means surrender, a black flag in history, in all major cultures, from Asia to, you know, the Mediterranean, you name it, a black flag meant no surrender. It also meant the plague sometimes, meaning we're a dead ship, but a black flag meant no surrender. A skull meant, in a fight, we're also, if you don't surrender right away, we're going to kill you. So we're not going to surrender, and when we capture you, we're going to kill everybody. The globalists are flying a Jolly Roger at us, okay? And they're saying, no quarter given, none taken. We are killing you. We are poisoning you right now. We're getting you ready for the real hot killing like they're doing in Africa and other places and India. and there's a cold war against the family. It's going hot now. They're not giving us quarter. There is no choice is what I'm trying to tell people. There's only the delusion that you can join the system. A guy jogged by at the event and got in people's face, said, you're a bunch of conspiracy nuts, and tried to get in a fight, some jogger. That idiot works for a defense contractor, I've guaranteed assessed him, thinks they're God, thinks we're idiots, thinks that they had Marines driving in and out, giving us dirty looks and laughing at us. These are children. These are children. They have no idea what they're facing. Mike, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, you studied history so much, Alex. You speak about it very eloquently on your show here. You've seen what happens, and it happens over and over again. It's a pattern, a reliable pattern of what happens when governments get too big and too powerful, or fascism takes over corporate intervention with governments. So you can see what's happening here, and what you're just commenting on there is how other people, they delude themselves into believing that somehow this system's going to be okay as long as they play along with it. If they go along, they're going to be one of the minions. They're going to be one of the people that gets benefits from the government, let's say. All they got to do is keep their head low and not speak out. But the bigger point here is that now you have proven the effectiveness of speaking out once again. And I saw that you were surrounded there at the event. You could hardly speak live on the air because of so many people talking to you. We got to go to break, Alex, but we'll come right back.
Absolutely. The key is here, we have broken Bilderberg. It's blown wide open. They are discredited. This is the beginning of the end if we use this initiative. We'll be back. Stay with us. Okay, we'll be here till the bottom of the next hour, and then Mike Adams, who I appreciate coming in, naturalnews.com, he takes over with Jim Mars and others. There's so much news that's so hot. I will also do some live streams today after the show that are up at the top right-hand corner of Infowars.com that John B. Wells, the great guy from Coast to Coast AM, who's sitting in tomorrow, can play. He's got a bunch of guests coming up. I'll also be on tomorrow for an hour. I was not even supposed to be here today, but what was going to be Mike Adams only, but wild horses could not drag me away with all this news. Now, speaking of wanting to kill us, Luke Radowski of WeAreChange.org, the incredible job he's doing. Again, another example of what one person with others can do. Luke, who we first put on the show years ago when 9/11 Truth didn't want him getting into eugenics in New York, kicked him out. I had him on air. You got him the support when the police threatened to arrest him, said they'd plant bombs on him on video. That's in Truth Rising, the film. He said, go ahead, plant bombs on me. They called up, death threatened his family. He still kept going. Here he is talking to Ted Turner about reducing the world population. And then he brings up to Ted Turner the fact that his family, he had five children, biggest landowner in the country, owns, last time I heard, like 15 large jets, hundreds of automobiles. These are pigs. They want you dead because they want everything. They've stolen the world. Now they want you gone. You understand? They've already killed most of us. Most of us are already carrying SV40, the cancer virus. They've killed us. We got to bring them down. We can't let them destroy the genetics of humanity and our children. That's what men are for, is to fight evil. We're expendable. Do you understand that? Defend the innocents. Let's go to this tape. Here it is.
Mr. Turner, I was wondering if you think it's a good idea to reduce 90% of the population because we are being overpopulated by a lot of...
90%.
80? Prince Philip said 80, sir. I go with 85.
I think 2 billion is about right.
Right, me too. Thank you.
One child family.
Exactly. One child policy.
Ben, can you speak about your population control, saying you wanted to reduce the population to 95% extermination? You said you want a one-child policy, but you have five kids. It doesn't make any sense.
The youngest one is 40 years old.
All right, but understand.
But, and the world population then was 3 million.
But that's what the Nazis did with eugenics, sir.
Sir.
They wanted to destroy humanity.
Pay detail.
You don't got to tell you. I'm not even doing nothing wrong. Can you tell me what I did wrong?
You don't have permission here.
Yes, I do. I'm a legitimate person. I'm on the list, so I'm not even doing nothing illegal.
You talk to the management.
Ted Turner, you're an enemy of humanity, and your Nazi-like policies won't be tolerated. I don't want to give you any trouble. I'm just trying to ask my questions. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm leaving, okay? Don't worry about that.
Why do you want to destroy humanity, sir? You're an enemy of humanity.
Why do you support eugenics, sir?
The Nazis support eugenics. I'm on the public sidewalk, and you cannot touch me. No, this is a public sidewalk. Get
it. Sir,
I'm just talking to him.
I got to step to the back.
So what'd you do at the Bilderberg Group? That's where you decided your eugenics policy?
Why do you support the population, Ted?
Is it when the Bilderberg, just like the Nazis did, exterminated the Jews with eugenics? You're doing the same thing nowadays, trying to exterminate the normal people.
Is 80% depopulation enough? Is 80% enough? 90%? And who's going to decide who lives and dies?
Be ashamed of yourself. You are not our leader. National sovereignty will prevail, and we will not have a new world order. We won't have a one-world government. The elite won't be in charge because the people and national sovereignty will always prevail, sir.
Eugenics is no laughing matter, sir. Depopulation is no laughing matter.
Your silence shows complicity, sir.
Ted, who's going to decide who lives and dies over your eugenics population program?
You're no better than a Nazi.
All right, there you have it. And the British Royal Commission that became the State Department model said if they would have industrialized the third world, they would have less children, 1.3. They did all this on purpose. These people just like to kill folks.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The sleeping giant that is free humanity is beginning to awaken. The giant is sitting at the end of the bed with cuts and bites all over from the globalist rats. We must breathe life into the sleeping giant that is humanity and get it up on its feet, get it nourished with the truth and the conviction of survival and building up humanity and move forward against the globalists. The globalists themselves are just puppet minions of a darker force. All my research, everything shows that. These are deceived people as well. We are fighting pure wickedness, pure crystallized death. Mike Adams will be taking over fully in about 30 minutes, and he's going to have a lot of great folks on today, like Jim Mars. But we've got Aaron. Aaron, give us your basic breakdown on how important this year's Bilderberg was. I mean, we're talking about this being a victory. It's all over mainstream media. But there's a revolt in the media where the editors can't say no anymore, and people are writing positive articles. And the media is more and more getting sold on the truth, but we see the loyal opposition groups like Beck, Tucker Carlson, and others showing their true colors. Washington Times shows their true colors for patriotism, not saying they're perfect. DrudgeReport.com shows their true colors, blowing it wide open. George Norrie helping do it. But then you really learn who's who now, don't we?
Oh, yeah, and it's a classic best of times, worst of times, like any Dickinson era. We've blown it wide open. The activist community has mobilized. That's growing every year. I mean, it must have been 10 times bigger than it's ever been in terms of number of protesters outside the meeting. No wonder they see us as cockroaches, because they want to quietly move forward on their agenda, make sure it's achieved in silence, always under the name of world government, as they make insider deals, get all the land deals, all the population and money and wealth for themselves. And that's really what these Bilderberg members do. I try to focus on studying the list, and we see this year they're really mobilizing. The architecture is there for World War III, whether or not they actually want that, we're going to find
out.
And
warfare against us, announcing, yeah, troops are on the street, yeah, we're watching you, yeah, drones. I mean, it's just a full tyrannical declaration of war against humanity.
Well, you notice Bill Gates has been under a lot of heat and criticism for his covert war against humanity through
his
the
His name was always on the list. He was there, photographed and stuff. The Washington Post admitted it as insiders. Off the list, though.
Admitted he was there, but off the list. But those who are on the list, you study them, you look up what they're involved with. with. It's extremely telling. You'll find their names almost daily in the Wall Street Journal, but never mentioning that they coordinate their efforts at Bilderberg. But in fact, they do decide policy there. We've been given a huge data dump of documents. We'll talk about that later, from back in the 60s when Prince Bernhard was still heading the group. He, of course, had to step down in the 70s because of his own bribery
scandal. World Wildlife Fund was used as a front to actually hunt elephants and stuff and get gold. I mean, no end to the level of how wicked these people are.
Well, it's not, that's the point with Ted Turner. It's not just that his policies are like Nazis. They're working with actual Nazis, Prince Bernhard, one of them.
Well, Nazis were just a eugenic spinoff.
But it's not even just the eugenics. They're seizing up land. All the Agenda 21 stuff was done under Ted Turner, Maurice
Strong.
The
UN lines people up in Latin America and Africa and shoots them. I mean, this was in the news.
In the name
of global
warming.
And the liberals are like, murder them. It's good.
In the name of global warming. It's all phony.
You're a racist if you don't want to kill black people.
But as you know, they were in there not only talking about carbon taxes, but the fact that it's Rio plus 20, revisiting Agenda 21 under the United Nations. They've had a lot of major defeats. There's opposition against that. They're looking to move that forward. And you see more and more the Rothschilds, Rockefellers openly working together, whereas there was some infighting, but mostly coordination before. And this all just goes on and on. But it's very troubling to see so many big-time Russian envoys, the head of the Syrian National Council, and all these Chinese delegates here, they really want to move forward on
the war
there. Front.
I'm glad we're getting into the agenda. On the other side, I want to break down the vice president that Bilderberg likes, what's going on with all of that and more. I'm Alex Jones. Resistance is victory. You are resistance. You are victory. Realize the threat. Face the enemy. It's the only hope we've got. We're not heroes. We just want to survive.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, sitting in today at the headquarters in Austin, Texas. Alex Jones and Aaron Dykes are joining us via the road, broadcasting from a hotel room. They've been on the highway, on the road version of the Millennium Falcon, the InfoWars bus. And they're breaking down the information from Bilderberg, which, of course, is the biggest story on the planet right now. And yet most of the media absolutely refuse to cover it. The eugenics agenda is real. We just saw an interview with Ted Turner where he confirms that he wants one-child policy across the planet for the next 100 years, reduce the population to, I think, 2 billion people. We're talking mass death across the planet. Alex and Aaron have more information on this front. Go ahead, guys.
And that's what the carbon taxes in their own numbers, what they wanted in Copenhagen 2 years ago, 1 billion dead in the next 10 years. And the New York Times admits the UN in Africa, in Uganda, but also in Latin America and Honduras and other areas, lines up villagers that won't leave from their ancestral land and blows their heads off. And I talked to all the liberal trendies who aren't liberal at all, and they go, well, there are too many people. Listen, idiot. Your food has been jacked. Your water is. You're under attack, too. You people make me sick. And that's what Mike Adams exposes. Now, I want to get into the agenda, what happened at Bilderberg, what we know from the list, what we know from sources, calling us cockroaches, wanting us dead. This is incredible. Aaron Dykes has been barely able to sleep. The deeper he goes down the rabbit hole, learning even more than I know in many areas, constantly researching just how true our analysis is. Aaron Dykes, what are we facing? What do we know from the agenda? We're going to have huge reports when we get back, giant reports. We're just going to churn out all the documents we've got, the Brookings Institute, the connections to the Hudson Institute, the connection to the RAND Corporation, their master plan. I mean, these people really are incredible psychopaths. They are unbelievable. I mean, they might as well be a foreign alien force. I just spilt my water all over the electricity. Hold on.
But it's so damning, Alex. I learn more and more as each hour passes by. I just keep reading on the road, even though it makes me slightly ill, because I can't just resist looking up these names and seeing the terrible things they're admittedly involved in. Just last week, we found they're putting herbicide in the water, contaminating it.
Bilderberg Group.
But more importantly, they have...
But I mean, it's all the Bilderberg Group. Once you know their names, you open every newspaper article up, and it's just all them ripping us off, constant bailouts, total criminals, telling us the debt is ours. I mean, these people are filth. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, to recap what's happened in the past several years in the economic crisis, they're admittedly selling us on austerity. It's officially on the Bilderberg agenda on their official website. Meanwhile, they put in all their technocrats, Mario Monti, a top steering committee member of Bilderberg, head of Italy, Papandreou and the other counterpart in Greece, Peter Sutherland, who has the arrogance to run BP, and
if
Goldman
aliens
Sachs
came
and
to
Ireland.
This planet in fake human bodies, this is what they would do. I'm not saying that this is who they are. That's a figurative thing before Glenn Beck runs with it. But I mean, this is so anti-human, they might as well be from a distant star. I mean, sometimes I think it's like a Thing episode. I mean, it's so systematic, so crafty, so hateful, so evil. And I just look at the photo my wife sent me of my four-year-old with a basket of peaches she picked, and she's so innocent and so good. And it's beyond hatred I have for these people, Aaron. They are the scum of the earth. They are our enemy. Enemy! Go ahead. Sorry.
I know, Alex. It's so sick what they've done, especially in respect to humanity. But you got to understand, while they're selling us on austerity in Europe, they're setting the scene to make it happen here in America. The pension funds in particular have been bought out by these Bilderberg firms. They're getting
ready. After they were looted already by them.
Correct. And they're leveraged on the derivatives market. They're leveraged in these terrible buyout schemes. And when the dominoes collapse, it will all go. They're already losing money on the pensions. And again, arrogantly, the head of the Texas Teachers Retirement System, officially in attendance at Bilderberg this year.
My God.
He meets with Henry Kravis of KKR and the other big
pension funds. It was the Texas utilities people 4 years ago in Istanbul, and then they started shutting down the power plants, if you weren't an insider, and literally doubling rates since then. I mean, these are just...
Henry Kravis is one of those angels of death. He was part of the largest utilities buyout of all time in Texas, TXU, and there was...
consolidating the economy to wreck it, folks. That's the thing. They say that's their plan.
Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and others admittedly were insider trading on that buyout deal. That's how they roll. Meanwhile, they're all behind the toll roads. That scheme hasn't died. Mitch Daniels, who now may be the vice president, is part of that scheme as well. The NAFTA Superhighway.
Yeah, I want you to break down Mitch Daniels. Mike Adams is riding shotgun with us. This is the governor of Indiana. Let's just look into a window of Bilderberg into just Mitch Daniels, who they want. They don't want Rand Paul. We've got that from sources that they don't like his father. They don't trust Rand Paul, obviously, because he's not a globalist, but he's a little more political. They do not like Rand Paul. They like Mitch Daniels. Rubio went to the CFR and promised world government as well at the same time. But go over the data sheet you wrote up last night from all public sources. Aaron's going to do an article later today on this. Go over this monster.
Well, in short, Mitch Daniels ties into the George H.W. Bush power structure, but even more than that,
he's a Quayle frontman.
Dan Quayle. The Quayle family basically owns Indiana. Each state has its own little mini cartels, and Mitch Daniels worked with Eli Lilly. He was head of the corporation that the Quayle family owns a controlling interest. You wonder why they sold us on all these gaffes about how stupid Dan Quayle was, how he couldn't spell potato, or how he thought a $4 job at Burger King was a sign of economic progress. That's all to keep you from looking at the admitted ties.
Yeah, just like how the Queen's cute. That's a standard psych warfare operation. These are genius level vicious killer psychopaths. Okay, I mean, again, they got the aspartame approved, they got the Prozac approved, and then he was the front man to cover up all the mass deaths and suicides. Keep breaking him down.
And of course, Eli Lilly is the top producer of thimerosal that they put in vaccines, and under the George W. Bush administration, they tried to sneak in total dismissal of all thimerosal-based vaccine lawsuits under the Homeland Security Bill in 2002. But that's to protect us from 9/11, Alex. But Mitch Daniels is a lifelong lobbyist through the Reagan administration, through the Bush administration, for Eli Lilly. He headed the company in the late 80s, early 90s. Before that, he was president and CEO of the Hudson Institute.
You're on camera.
Who is the Hudson Institute? Well, they're basically the Rand Corporation. It was founded just like the Rand Corporation by Herman Kahn and his buddies. They call it a conservative think tank. I don't see what the scientific, military, industrial think tank business has anything to do with the idea of conservatism.
This is a scientific takeover of the economy, and that's why they get even more globalism under Republicans. Anybody that thinks Mitt Romney's going to save them has a hole in their head. And again, I'm not even attacking Mitt Romney himself or Obama. They are non-consequential. There will be no difference but in rhetoric, folks. This is a scientific blueprint takeover in their own words. Tell them about how he was the head of the highest subgroup that directs Rand.
Yeah, that is the Hudson Institute. Today, it's headed by Henry Kravis's wife, Marie-José Kravis. They meet annually at Bilderberg, but it used to be Mitch Daniels. They're absolutely part of the top power structure. They're a lot more secretive than these other groups, and they really steer the way this whole system is going. And you can see how it interlocks with Eli Lilly. Immediately after leaving the CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush went to the Eli Lilly Corporation on the board of directors put there by the Quayle family.
And there's toll roads run through it all. I mean, it's just insane. Yeah. And it's every one of these guys. Once you start looking at them, they're connected to all the other groups. And what's the number one thing? It's pushing poison on the public, fluoride in the water, GMO, McDonald's. It's all been a plan.
I'm suspicious of Scientology as well, but that whole demonization of Scientology came about from Quayle and Bush and Mitch Daniels in the early 90s when they almost stopped Prozac, killed its market share, and were about to have it removed. Instead, they released hit piece after hit piece in all the major papers to make them look crazy. Maybe they are. That's up to you to decide. Well, but they didn't like them attacking Eli Lilly's Prozac. Mitch Daniels in particular.
At bare minimum, the Scientologists are a competitor group with the globalists. They want to. That's the argument that they want to be them.
Well, I'm not even getting into Scientology,
I mean,
but they were hurting the Prozac shares.
Certainly, they know what's going on.
And Mitch Daniels was a specialist at defending the role of Prozac in the public's mind, and it drove market shares right back up, spiked up there as they continued to put thimerosal in the vaccines. It tried to get themselves immunity on it. Mitch Daniels is an angel of death, just like many of the others.
It's a good headline.
But he was part of the Indiana toll roads again. Centra and Macri with their thumbprints all over it.
And they take over. Now they're going to get MOPAC, a paid-for road, alter the lane that you get and turn it into a toll road, even though that's illegal. Bush signed an executive order saying they could. But how's an executive order overthrow law? And it's just total criminal takeover.
They get these conglomerates.
And they do these fake choices. It could all be toll road or only part. What do you want? And again, while they block all the other roads being built and steal all the money... They have a surplus in Texas. It's total criminality.
No, they're the masters of the false left-right paradigm. It's not just Obama and Romney. It's Coke and Pepsi meet at Bilderberg. It's one writer at Bilderberg says, let's use diplomacy in Syria. The other writer says, let's bomb them right now today.
And let's starve them, Fareed Zarkaria.
Exactly.
I mean, these people are unbelievable. They're masters of controlling a fake paradigm, a false reality. It's like going, going to Disney World. It's its own city. It's its own town. It's fake.
Okay, oh, yeah.
This and again, look up Disney World Pentagon Laboratory. You'll find out the whole thing's a Pentagon laboratory. For Fallujah, and you're like, Fallujah? How to lock a city down? How to have biometrics? And you're paying to be part of a laboratory. I mean, these people are unbelievable.
The more you read into this, the more you see that the CIA just bleeds over into the Rand Corporation, bleeds over into Bilderberg. These people
admit Google's NSA created, as I told you, decades. I mean, it's all here.
Yeah, and they have huge conglomerates to suck out the profits while they make the public pay for infrastructure. Mitch Daniels, again, not only did the toll road, he put a new tax.
Yeah, so there's really not just the government. There's this corporate private state where they're now transferring its power over to it completely, calling it privatization. That's why they're flirting with libertarians. Because it's a fake libertarian system.
Oh, but privatization. Mitch Daniels put a new tax on the people of Indiana so they could build sports stadiums. The Lucas Oil Stadium. The Indiana Convention Center.
Which, again, is a psych warfare center.
Tax
they can
on
also
liquor
use
beverages.
To put them in the camp, yeah.
It was a tax on liquor, though, so it sounds like he's doing something good. But the point is, he's a continuation of Quayle and Bush. I didn't even get into how they rigged the FDA so they could approve biotech, sell vaccines unapproved by the
nanotech
FDA overseas.
Is already in most people's brains. It's in hundreds of foods. They're put... We've engineered into it. We've all been hit with cancer viruses. We'll be back with Mike Adams straight ahead. Final segment before I hand the baton to Mike Adams. I'm Alex Jones of PrisonPlanet.tv, live video feed free. I'm coming in. Yeah, I don't want any shackles on me. I don't want any shackles on my baby, shackles on my wife. You New World Order, why don't you get the you-know-what out of my life? Paraphrasing Jimmy Vaughn there. Now, I wanted to bring Rob Jacobson in because I didn't get to bed till about 2:30 last night. Aaron's in there. 7 a.m., I hear him start yelling. And I went out and saw some of the TV myself. The mayor of London saying, you Americans,
You shouldn't even have this, be able to celebrate this like we can. You made a big mistake in 1776. Ah, oh, Queen is so incredible. That's a big news item right there. And the, our media's like, oh, yes, we're so sorry. And it's just everywhere. And at the little hotel we're at, people are watching it down there at breakfast going, Queen. I mean, this is not even a Brit, not even a German. It's Transylvanian royalty. It's mainstream media. They're total globalist criminals. They live off the dole. Prince Philip's a Nazi. And they've got people, you know, that guy on CNN, incredible, she's eating soup right now. Look at her. She stood up and waved. The honor, the courage. Here come the, I mean, you describe it better than I. This is total Twilight Zone, not just for England. I mean, in the, you know, in the last 800 years, they hate the royalty on majority. But here, the Americans really believe it's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. No, she's the big bad witch, folks. We only got a few minutes, Jacobson, but describe what you've been witnessing for people that are out there, because it's I mean, they're all witnessing it as well. I mean, this is just insane.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Yeah, I woke up early this morning, as I usually do on these trips, and I went downstairs. And, of course, the TV's playing, like, you know, right in the middle of the dining area. And the first thing I see is CBS Morning Today, their morning show. It's not their cable show, but it's their regular broadcast show. And they have the mayor of London on, and they're like, we're going, you know, here we are with the mayor of London, and they're showing scenes of London of everybody cheering the Queen and everybody, hey! And then they
come
cut
on,
to
do your imitations. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. They cut to the mayor, and he's like, you people, the biggest mistake you Americans made was back in 1776. And the CBS crew was like, ah, ha, 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 you are so correct. Oh, if only we were able to not make that mistake. And the worship just continued from there. I mean, I was disgusted.
Now they have articles in the Philadelphia newspaper like, the Constitution, is the Declaration bad? British experts say, perhaps we don't have a right to revolt. Declaration of Independence, bad.
Yeah, we were, so I was sitting there in the middle of that room. I'm like, well, where the, you know, where am I? And the biggest mistake that we have made was 1776, because we don't get to bow down and worship this lady.
You don't get to properly enjoy it, but it goes on and on. I mean,
all right, David,
I got a page of notes.
I got a couple of pages here, like David Cameron. They do an interview with him, and he won't talk about actual issues, Syria, the economy. No, no, no. He will only focus in on the Queen.
Oh, the Queen.
And, she's not officially part of government, but she's there for all the decisions, and they strongly take her recommendations at every left turn.
By the
turn.
Way, she runs the whole thing. She has governor generals.
Exactly.
She just nicks the whole deal whenever she wants in all the commonwealths. Continue.
I couldn't even believe what I was listening to. Then our press, CBS, is like, oh, and the British do it so much better than us. Oh, my God. Even though they have rings of security just like us, they're so much more civilized. You actually walk up to 10 Downing Street and knock on the door.
No, guys, I've been there. They have guys with machine guns and banned citizens out on the main road from any free speech. We have it on video. Huh. No free speech in certain zones. Just like in Australia, they arrest you.
Yeah, and
the freedom the Queen gives
us. Oh, and how civilized. You knock on the door and somebody answers, and it happens to be David Cameron.
And it's all just a giant psyop effect.
Like, as if they weren't expecting her. Like, people are...
And
I guess
the
people are that,
tells our military what to do. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean... just like, I mean, you reminded me this morning, like, it's very similar to a North Korean situation where they're all phony crying. It's all these people are celebrating.
Oh, the Queenie.
The Queen.
They make you go out and worship the, you know, the Kim Jong-il, son, or you get arrested. And then, it's like, oh, is he so, it's exactly the same.
And then they cut back to the studio, and it's like, the Queen should be praised for standing up. She was standing there in front of her people, like they're her pets, you know. Oh, her people, that I. She's identifying with her people. And my question
is...
And
again, you're not allowed to have British or UK patriotism. They even say don't have the King George flag. It's evil. But you're only allowed to have patriotism when it's worshiping your foreign murdering monarch.
Yeah, I mean, this woman has nothing to do with us in this country as far as I knew. But now it's like...
Almost out of points. Hit your other one.
All right. So, I mean, the Jellyfish Media, of course, they went on to... praise the rain. Oh, it rained for the Queen. It actually, the rain was actually a character. So I went on to do a little bit of research just to see what kind of damage this is doing for the Brits. And it turned out that they closed the bank and called it a banker holiday. So this thing, besides all of the rest of it, is costing the Brits $1.2 billion in debt for closing the banks for one day. And all those Brits are cheering and screaming, yay!
That's just the idiots they have come out and do it. And it's so sad. They think that's all that's left of England. That's the only time they're allowed to cheer is for their foreign pig monarch. All right, folks, more on Bilderberg coming up. Mike Adams straight ahead and Jim Mars. Continue to watch us at InfoWars.com.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the super states that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show on this Monday, June 4th, 2012. You just heard some powerful segments with Alex Jones, Aaron Dykes, Rob Jacobson, all on the road right now, returning from Chantilly, Virginia. Wow, a lot of hard-hitting breaking news coming out of there. You know, the important thing to realize is, and by the way, we're going to be, Jim Mars is going to be joining us here in just a second, but the important thing to realize in all this is that this is not fiction. This is not conspiracy theory. The meeting took place. The world leaders are there. They are the global mafia. They control the banks. They control the technology. They control the search engines. They control the economy. They control all the rules and regulations and laws and even the non-laws that they use, that they invoke to try to control us. I mean, they control the food. They control the drugs, the pesticides, the chemical companies, petroleum, energy, everything. You name it, and they have an agenda, which is to reduce human population down to maybe 1 billion people or so, maybe more. That's the only part that's debated, is how many of us do they want gone, not whether they do or not. So here to join us with some thoughts on all of this is author, researcher, investigative journalist Jim Mars. He's the author of many books, including The $1 Trillion Conspiracy. It's all about zombie banks and much more. He joins us by phone today with his analysis of what has just happened in Virginia and what it means for our future as people try to survive on planet Earth. Jim, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you on, man.
It's really amazing. It's quite an epiphany for me because, of course, I've been talking about the Bilderbergers for many years now, and particularly in my book, Rule by Secrecy, which was published in 2000. And of course, written in the 90s. And back then, when I tried to tell people about Bilderbergers, it's like, what's that?
Yeah.
And then you try to talk to the media, and they're, nothing there. Don't look at that. Don't look behind the green curtain, you know. And today, I mean, I think the reason that they had to meet in Chantilly, Virginia, is because last year when they met in Switzerland, the European media was all over them, including even some Swiss politicians who showed up unannounced saying, hey, what are you guys doing in there? You know, they kind of pulling an Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And this year they decided, well, let's get back to America where we can keep a close, tight rein on the media. And, of course, that doesn't include Alex. He's going to go where he wants to go.
Yes, indeed.
Which is great. That's what milquetoast slamballs who call themselves journalists today, that's what they should be doing. They should be pounding down the door saying, what the heck are you folks doing in there?
Yeah, well you think about this. If there was any meeting of any other group of professionals, you know, 100 baseball players, 100 actors, 100 scientists from NASA, it would be covered by the media. But for some reason...
They'd go ballistic. I mean,
sure.
Just think about it, Mike. What if all the owners of the National Football League franchises met in a hotel under armed guard for a week and then came out and wouldn't tell anybody what they talked about? Oh, man, they'd be screaming restraint of trade, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. They'd just go nuts. They'd say, you know, this is a monopoly. You know, y'all are... this is terrible.
But
here you got the people who are actually trying to run the world, and they get a pass.
Yeah, yeah. But also, the thing about this, Jim, too, in not covering this and in denying it, the mainstream dinosaur media has only further discredited itself. Because now every reasonable, rational person that's observing these events can say, wait a minute, this really happened. You know, InfoWars has all the footage, all the real-time transmissions and broadcasts, everything. Yeah. This really happened. These people are there. The photographs of these world leaders, supposed leaders, scum that we like to call them here at InfoWars, leaving the event. The event is real. It really took place. And the media says it's not real. They won't cover it. How more discredited could they get?
Well, I saw recently where CNN has lost like almost 50% of its listeners. And this is why. Because they are nothing more than just propaganda organs for the corporate state, and people are beginning to realize it. And this is what the good news is, Mike. This is really good news. I mean, we're talking about it. More people are waking up, and there are a lot more of us than there are of them. And this is why they want to reduce the world's population. But if the world's population, even 10 or 20% of us, got wide awake, realized what the game plan was, and simply put our foot down and said, no, we're not going to go with this, then they're out of business, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out, that's the silver lining in all of this. You know, Alex is great at uncovering the truth of what's going on and showing the threat. At the same time, the flip side of what he's doing and what the entire crew here is doing and what people like you and I do and others like us is we also show the power of the individual, the power of telling the truth, the power of speaking out, the power of just showing up. I mean, you know, 80% of the battle is just showing up, right? Look at what Alex did with a bullhorn. He didn't have a firearm on him. He wasn't armed, but he made history with a bullhorn and just the will to just confront the nonsense and assert his constitutional rights right there on the scene. Think about the power that we have as a nation if more people would just be like Alex.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the old children's story about the emperor's new clothes. All it took was one little boy to say, hey, the emperor hadn't got any clothes on. And everybody went, oh, holy crap, that's right. The emperor doesn't have any clothes on. And that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
Not ranting or raving, not trying to change everything, just simply saying, look, you know, look what's going on today. It's not right. It's ridiculous. And, you know, we need to all wake up. But it's kind of happening. It really is. I'll give you a good example. I was just seeing a thing here. I know I drive a little Prius. It's a hybrid, okay? And I'm getting pretty good mileage, getting 46 miles a gallon, something like that. And, you know, that's good. But I've seen a thing today where the Volkswagen and other companies, they're making a car with an engine that'll get in excess of 70 miles to the gallon. Well, wow, that's great. So how come we can't get one? Because they won't allow them to be sold in the United States.
Sure.
Okay? Now, wait a minute. Wow, what's this all about?
Scarcity, man.
The explanation, which seems likely, is that, yes, it's corporate greed, but it's more than that. I know here in Texas, we have one of the best highway systems in the nation, and it's due to the gasoline tax. When you buy a gallon of gasoline for $2.50, $3.50, however much it is now, probably more than half, maybe three-quarters of that price you're paying for that gallon of gasoline is taxes. And those taxes go to build the highways and maintain the highways. Well, if everybody started driving 70 mile per gallon cars, then that's going to cut their taxes in half.
Right.
And they won't have money to repair the roads. So they say, well, it's an economic issue. Well, so what do you do about that? Okay, it's real simple. If you educate people and people understand that they could have a car that could get 70 miles a gallon and cut their gasoline bills in half, if they truly understood that, then all they got to do is for a significant percentage of the people just say, okay, I'm not going to buy a new car this year until you give me one that give me 70 miles a gallon. And what are the car manufacturers going to do? They're going to choke up and say, okay, here's a car that will get 70 miles an hour. This is how in a market, a free market, and even in a corporate-run market, that's how you can get something done, because they are greedy and they do look to their bottom line. And if you can affect their bottom line, they will change.
Yeah, but the issue we've got in America today is the government interference with the free market, obviously, the crony capitalism.
There's no free market.
Right, there's no free market. And speaking of the automobile industry, we've got the U.S. government now actually spending taxpayer money to move U.S. automobile manufacturing facilities overseas into places like China, actually gutting the industrial base, gutting the jobs base in America here, and doing it deliberately and saying that the government is here to save you the whole time, because now you don't have a job, you don't have a house, you don't have health care. Now you're a total government dependent, a total victim, and that's right where they want you.
That's the game plan, Mike, as you well know. It is absolutely incredible, but what they want is everyone totally dependent on the government, and that's why they are pushing this globalist socialist agenda. People go, oh, socialism, oh no. Well, you know, people have different views of socialism, and that's just like people have different views of democracy. And socialism, you know, which means public ownership of all the means of production and distribution, that doesn't sound like such a bad thing, really.
Except
what everybody loses sight of is on any social program, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to require central administration.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the key to it, because once they get a global socialist system, and some programs like, say, Medicare or Social Security might be good. Some programs like Obamacare are probably terrible. But regardless of whether good, bad, or indifferent, they require central authority. And these globalists, these people who meet at Bilderberg, they know they have the power and the money to buy up the central administration. And then that's how they achieve one of the oldest goals in the history of the world, which is control of the world.
No, it's incredible. Clearly a global, a world government is on the agenda. And another agenda, Agenda 21, of course, is world government control of all environment, land, animals, right, resources, things like that. But let me ask you a financial question, Jim, that's been on my mind here. There's so much happening in Europe right now. A financial cascading collapse appears to be imminent. We've got the Greece situation. We've got Spain on, you know, money fleeing Spain. Some bank runs have already been reported there. A lot of concern about Spain. We've got the Tokyo market just crashed on Friday to a 28-year low. There's new talk about the new retirement age for many people in many countries around the world is going to have to be set at 80 years old. So you can't retire until you're 80 if you even live that long, which is highly unlikely if you're injected with the cancer-causing vaccines and drinking the fluoride in the public water supply. Your thoughts, Jim Mars?
Well, that's pretty much it. They're working their global agenda, but you know, there's so many aspects to this. For example, everybody kind of knows about the Federal Reserve System and how it's neither federal nor does it have any reserves, and it's simply a collection of banks that are owned by other banks, which are then owned by private individuals, many of whom are not even American citizens. And these are the folks who are looting us and looting the public treasury. Let's not forget the $15 trillion that Ben Bernanke sent overseas to prop up foreign banks.
Right.
Now, when people are struggling to make a living, struggling to keep their families afloat, buy groceries, and then you tell them that their tax money's going to prop up foreign banks, that should get people upset. But they don't really hear it because they listen to TV. Okay, but they've got all kinds of things going on. The Financial Stability Board, are you familiar with that? This is something that Barack Obama signed us up to in 2009, on April the 2nd, 2009, at the G20 meeting in London. He signed us up for the Financial Stability Board, which is, it used to be called the Financial Stability Forum, which was a division, a part of the Bank for International Settlements, which, if you've read my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, you realize was an old Nazi-controlled bank before, during, and after the war.
Right.
And they had the Financial Stability Forum, which was basically just a good old boys' meeting of the international bankers trying to keep things stabilized and everything in their favor. Well, now they've changed the name to the Financial Stability Board, and we have signed up for this. And according to their own, it's a policy-making board, and they can set standards, policies, regulations, and pass them on to their respective nations. And the idea is to standardize the financial system in the world.
Right, so right, right. Words, global,
we don't
global,
have
global
control
bank.
Over our own financial system anymore. It's in the hands of a board made up of foreigners that came out of a Nazi-controlled bank.
Yeah, but look where it's going, Jim. And Darren McBreen here at the InfoWars Studios has been doing some research and reports on this. It's all about going to a cashless society. It's all about the chip implants, the electronic, centrally, globally controlled money system where everything you buy is tracked. Every financial transaction is spied on by the government just by default immediately. You have no financial privacy. You can't even carry cash without being considered a criminal. And that has already begun in some ways.
It's in embryonic stages, but it has already begun. But now, here's the whole thing, Mike. How are you going to get people in the world, particularly like in North America and in the United States, where we had a pretty stable and widely accepted dollar, how do you get them to go to such a system? You have to destroy the dollar.
Exactly.
And they're doing it quite well.
Yeah, but let's talk about that. The dollar right now is looking good, but only relative to the collapse in Europe. So a lot of money is fleeing Europe into the dollar, making the dollar look good. Your comments, go ahead.
Yeah, that's like saying my dilapidated, rundown old house looks pretty good compared to the one next door, which is burning down.
It's on fire. Yeah, right. Everybody run to the shack.
Right. Yeah, get to the shack. It's a good place now.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly what's going on. Also, the other important point here is that all of these so-called defenders, people who work for the government, the TSA workers, the police, the FBI, all of these people who work for the government, they are dependent on government pensions for their retirements.
That's right.
Now, we're headed into a break here shortly, but I want your thoughts, Jim. What's going to happen when these pensions disappear?
Well, here's the big problem is that, and this happened years ago, this happened back in the 70s because I saw the stories before I left the newspaper I was working for at the time, and that is that they crossed the threshold. The 50% mark, where now more than 50%, now it's way on up there, of the population of the United States, a big, healthy majority of the population is now deriving its sole income from the government, okay? And when you have that kind of situation, then you have the very situation that de Tocqueville wrote about when he came over and saw the fledgling United States just beginning in back in 1700s, went back and wrote and said that, you know, democracy sounds good, but it'll never last because as soon as people realize they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury, they're just going to vote for whoever promises them the most.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that's kind of where we are today.
I think we've crossed that threshold already, Jim.
A long time ago, yeah.
We got to go to a break here, so hold on just a second. But when we come back from this break, I want to ask Jim Mars about the zombie apocalypse that has been happening across America, his comments on that and much more when we return here on The Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. I hope you realize the power that you have as an individual out there, and I hope you're not just listening to this show as a source of entertainment. I hope it's a source of inspiration that strikes a thread in your own heart and your own mind to take action right now to help us survive what's coming. You know, the quote from Alex that he said earlier, he says, quote, "We're not heroes, we're just trying to survive." And that's why he hates to be called a hero for anything that he's doing out there, even though people see, you know, you have a lot of courage, you're very aggressive out there fighting for freedoms and so on, but he doesn't want to be seen in that way. He says, we're just trying to survive, and he wants you to join the fight in working to survive. And of course, one of the authors who has been working in the same parallel effort for a couple of decades, several decades, in fact, is Jim Mars, and he continues with us by phone here on The Alex Jones Show. So Jim, before the break, we talked about the zombie apocalypse. We've got literal zombies rising up across America. Now, several reports, including the face-eating zombie in Miami, which I guess is not a laughing matter. Breaking news this morning, the one cannibal, which we're calling zombies, was captured in Berlin as of this morning. That was reported on the Drudge Report. So what are your thoughts, Jim? What's going on?
Well, right before get to the zombies, let me toss in one coda here on what we were talking about before the break about how that there are now more people making their living from the government than paying into it. You know, one thing, just one simple change of law could really make a huge effect here, and that is that anyone who is deriving more than 50% of their income from the government should not be allowed to vote, okay, because it's a conflict of interest.
Sure.
Only those who are paying into the government get to vote, because otherwise the whole thing's lopsided and it doesn't work.
Well, unfortunately, we've crossed right the 50% threshold, though, Jim, so now more than half the country is on the dole, and they're never that's never going to happen. I agree with your assessment,
well, yeah,
but it's never going to happen.
And now they vote, and they're not going to vote for somebody who would try to take their vote away. So I know it's a catch-22. But you can see how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Yeah.
And that's leading kind of to what we're talking about here about the zombies. First, let me tell you where the zombie thing came from, or at least for my book, The $1 Trillion Conspiracy, which I was forced to change the title by the publisher. My original title was Zombie Nation.
Yeah, I like that title better.
Everyone does. And in fact, I'm convinced that the only reason they made me change it was to diminish the sales. They really don't want it out.
You need to get a new publisher, man.
In fact, sure enough, they stuck it over on the financial bookshelves in the bookstores, you know, where only a few of the number crunchers go to actually get those books and investment people. But anyway, the thing is, that started with what they call the zombie banks. Now, a zombie bank is a bank that is broke. Okay, it's dead. But it's still going through the motions. It's still in business because of the TARP money, you know, public money that's been, tax money that's been thrown at it to prop it back up. So it's dead, but it's going through the motions. So they call those zombie banks. Well, the reason I call it Zombie Nation is because, depending on who you want to listen to, this nation now owes somewhere $15 trillion, $20 trillion plus trillions of dollars, which is an unimaginable number. And yet it's also been estimated that if for every man, woman, and child in the country sold off everything they've got, their clothes, their TV, their car, their house, everything, we couldn't come up collectively with maybe but about $9 or $10 trillion. So in other words, we're broke. We're a dead nation.
Yeah.
But we're just still going through the motion.
Zombie
so
nation.
Hey, zombie nation.
We got to go to break again. Real quick, short break here, folks. We'll be back in just a little over a minute. And stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. Jim Marrs is coming back with more talk about zombie nation, zombie banks, but also the rise of the zombie apocalypse and actual physical zombies now eating other people. Stay with us. We'll be back with a lot more on the Alex Jones Show.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wow, we're already into the third hour of the show today. Time is flying today. We heard from Alex, Aaron, and Rob Jacobson from The Road earlier in the first hour. And the second hour, lots of breaking information. Check Infowars.com for more news that's breaking it seems like every hour from Kurt Nimmo, Paul Joseph Watson, and others. We continue now with our conversation with Jim Marrs, author and investigative researcher. We're talking about zombie banks, and now we're going to get into human zombies or degenerative human zombies, because there seems to be this rise of the zombie apocalypse in America that I don't know what's behind it. But it is there are several cases now of people losing their minds and then feasting on other humans. And the CDC has even warned us about a zombie apocalypse, and they're gonna have a handle on it. This is true. I'm not making this up. It's an official page on the CDC's website, U.S. government's website, warning us about a zombie apocalypse. So Jim Marrs, continuing, what are your thoughts on the human zombie situation that we're seeing?
I went and looked at the CDC website, and sure enough, they got a whole thing there on zombie apocalypse, but it was tongue-in-cheek, and it was done, I think, to bring people in to learn how to store food and water and how to prepare themselves for some sort of disaster. So that was just their little PR move.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though. And what it brings to me, Mike, is the question, the age-old question of does art imitate life or life imitate art? You know, I mean, I'm pushing it on up there. I've lived quite a number of years now, and I don't recall stories of zombie attacks or cannibalistic attacks, crazy people running around this country until after the zombie metaphor became pretty standard in science fiction, horror movies, and novels, and TV, and everything else. So it really does make you wonder, you know, are we actually thinking in terms of zombies because somehow at a subconscious level we realize that we kind of are zombies. We're just getting up, going to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, watch TV. You know, are we really, have we kind of been turned into zombies and we kind of subconsciously realize that? Does that explain our fascination with zombies?
Clearly. Well, those are people that I call functional zombies, Jim. They're functional zombies. They can still go to work and punch a clock. They can still, you know, watch the news. They can still line up and get their vaccine shot and so on. But yeah, they're zombies. They're sleepwalking through life. And I got to think that some of this has to be just the incredible cumulative burden of all the chemicals from the vaccines, from the fluoride, the aspartame, the food additives, over-the-counter medications, pesticides, all of that. And then some people just cross that threshold, and sometimes perhaps a street drug causes them to do that. They blame this latest person on so-called bath salts, which is just a sort of a street name for a designer drug. But you know
what got me was early on they were trying to say that bath salts was some sort of LSD. It's not. You know, I don't know what bath salts is supposed to be.
I don't know either. It's some kind of designer synthetically created molecule but some people thought they were actually bath salts, and they are now afraid to buy bath salts and put them in their bath because they think they're going to turn into zombies. That's not the case, folks.
No, bath salts are okay. Just don't sniff them.
Yeah. Don't melt them down and inject them into your veins. That's probably a pretty good principle
for
anything.
Yeah, for anything.
Yeah. Including vaccines, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, think about it. If you injected peanut butter into your veins, you might go crazy, too. So what are they going to do, declare war on peanut butter next? Who knows?
See, you know, this is pretty typical, though, of our society's reaction. We all try to blame a drug. We try to blame guns. We try to blame any kind of, non-organic thing or drugs or whatever.
I know. 20 seconds, Jim.
Do what?
We're running out of time, man. I got to thank you.
We seldom think about what are the causes for all this.
Yeah, well said. Jim Mars, thanks for joining us today. It's been great having you on, everybody. Check out his book, Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. Jim Mars is the author. Stay with us. All right, what a day. What a broadcast. What a transmission. Incredible. And we've got more coming. Wait till you see this. I've got a surprise for you today that you are going to absolutely love. We have a surprise exclusive release of a brand new satire animation. Yeah, remember the TSA Help Wanted animation that we put together? That was something from the crazy mind of yours truly. And so I put together a new one called 7 Reasons to Reelect Obama. Yep. And we're going to play that in a few minutes. And what, you didn't know? You didn't know I was an Obama supporter? I'm a huge Obama supporter. Are you kidding me? In fact, I came up with 7 good reasons to reelect Obama. And I just felt so just emotionally driven by that I wanted to share it with all of the Alex Jones listeners. I'm sure Alex won't mind. You know, let's vote for Obama. Come on, 7 reasons. Anyway, that's coming up in just a few minutes. But before that, and by the way, you know, everybody out there, all you people who keep contacting me over through Natural News and you want me to get something to Alex, that doesn't work, okay? I never see Alex because the only time I'm here is when he's not here. Think about it. I never see Alex. I mean, I talk to him on the phone occasionally, but I can't get stuff to Alex, really. So that doesn't work. You have to send it to InfoWars Studios. Anyway, here's a note that I wrote down that was an important discussion point about something earlier. Remember the Ted Turner video that you saw in the previous hour? And was that We Are Change that recorded that? Yes. Yeah, We Are Change. a great confrontation with Ted Turner, where he admitted right there on camera that he wanted to reduce the world population to, I think he said, the 2 billion level, and he wanted a one-child policy for the next 100 years. And then Alex talked about the depopulation agenda. The important note that we did not get to discuss at that time is that the depopulation agenda has already nearly complete. A lot of you are out there thinking, well, let's just stop that when it happens. You know, we'll say no when it happens. You're already infected with SV40 if you have been taking vaccines, all right? Your fertility is already compromised if you've been eating GMOs. You're already contaminated with the artificial chemical sweeteners, with the synthetic chemical pesticides. In fact, new research from a professor right out of the University of Texas at Austin, that we covered over at Natural News, talked about the, quote, transgenerational epigenetic inheritance, which has been proven in laboratory tests. What does that mean? It's a big phrase. What does it mean? It means that if you are exposed to chemicals today, that your offspring 3 or 4 generations down the road can suffer the same damage, the same neurological damage of that exposure, even if they are never exposed to it. So it means that everybody getting vaccinated now, that their family tree is about to be history. Another 2 or 3 generations down the road, they may be completely infertile. And doesn't that fit just perfectly into Ted Turner's agenda? Hey, why commit mass murder of the population when you can just have them all voluntarily line up to get vaccinated and make themselves infertile? You know, that's the difference between what's happening today and what happened, let's say, in Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, the Nazis had to line up the Jews at gunpoint. It was obviously involuntary for the prisoners to go into the gas chambers and be killed. That's not something you would want to do voluntarily, obviously. But today, the eugenics is being carried out with the support of the people. They line up to be injected at the pharmacies. They just line up. They beg for the chemicals. They beg for the drugs. They beg for the chemotherapy. Treat my cancer, doctor, and destroy my kidney and liver and brain at the same time. But people don't know that last part of it. So that's the big difference, is the soft kill. It is already upon us. Don't think that you're going to have time to defend against this. If you aren't already standing up and speaking out and sharing this information with people, you're late. You're behind the curve. And it has already begun. That's the important message here. That's what Alex is trying to urge you all to understand, to really grasp, that we're late. Okay, we have a good shot at restoring liberty, restoring our republic, and defeating these globalist eugenicists. But if you're not already in the game, you need to get off your butt, get off the couch, turn off the cable news, and start making copies of InfoWars videos and start sharing this broadcast with everybody you know and get them on board with the truth of what's happening. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm into, is just sharing all of this information, just trying to report the truth. It's like Alex said, we're not heroes. We're just trying to survive, okay? Trying to survive. Now, 30 seconds here. We're going to be rolling this video, right? That's our timing. All right. Now, let me give you a little intro to it. This is 7 reasons to reelect Obama. Yeah, great reasons. You'll want to share these with everyone. So we're going to roll that video, go to break, and then we'll come back with some more discussion about some other things. And then an interview with James Yeager from Tactical Response is coming up at the bottom of the hour. But enjoy this video showing reasons to reelect Obama. Have a look.
Hi, I'm Jared, President Obama's campaign manager. Yay, right? I'm here to share with you the top 7 reasons why we need to reelect Obama. Number 1, food redistribution. On March 16, 2012, our great illustrious leader, President Obama, signed an executive order declaring total government authority over all food, farms, livestock, seeds, tractors, and farm equipment. That's pretty smart, huh? Isn't it wonderful? Instead of greedy capitalist farmers hoarding all of their own food, now the compassionate government can take the extra food and redistribute that food to those in need. Don't call it communism. It's just mandatory charity. Who says government doesn't have a heart, huh? Number two, vaccine mandates. More vaccines are good for everyone. So when individuals decide they don't want vaccines, that puts all of us at risk. When the great Obama is reelected, he will use executive orders to authorize armed government vaccine enforcers to make sure that every man, woman, child, and even unborn children are vaccinated. At gunpoint if necessary, because it's all for your own good. It's about government protecting you from you. Number three, gun control. Here in the Obama administration, we really like gun control because it means that we control the guns, not you. Obama's goal is to remove all the guns from American citizens and place them in the hands of trusted, honorable federal government workers like the TSA, who are keeping America safe from terrorists that might be hiding in your underpants. Sure, our Attorney General, Eric Holder, sold tens of thousands of guns and grenades to the Mexican drug gangs, but he was only trying to enhance America's economy by boosting exports. Arming criminal gangs in Mexico is okay, you see, but allowing law-abiding American citizens to buy guns, that's bad. That's why Eric Holder wins our Big Brother Brainwashing Award. Congratulations!
And just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Number four, secret arrest. On December 31st, 2011, our savior Obama signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act, which legalizes secret arrest, detention, interrogation, and torture of American citizens on U.S. soil, with no due process or Bill of Rights. Because who has time for all that anyway? And if you don't have anything to hide, you shouldn't mind being interrogated in the first place. Due process only protects criminals, like those people who criticize the government. They should be arrested. And if you help reelect Obama, we'll make sure that the Bill of Rights never gets in the way of giving out free camping experiences, courtesy of FEMA. Number five, criminalizing farmers. Under the Obama administration, our government promoted food safety by raiding fresh milk farmers and food distribution centers at gunpoint. See, that's where guns are really good. So, after King Obama is reelected, we intend to expand this effort to criminalize backyard chickens, small livestock operations, home gardens, and any food source that isn't owned by one of the politically connected mega corporations that gives us campaign contributions. Remember, if your food doesn't come from a factory, it's probably illegal. Number six, GMOs. Our illustrious leader, Obama, is so supportive of genetically modified foods that we lovingly call him GM Obama. I know. Working hand in hand with Monsanto and the science-based biotechnology industry, Obama plans to outlaw all heirloom seeds and then introduce new GMO crops engineered by our favorite technology superhero, Mr. Bill Gates. You'll love the new foods. Flu-shot corn on the cob, BP tomatoes containing core exit, monkey berries that we feed to the TSA, and our new favorite, Romney fried chicken, a White House delicacy. And finally, number seven, re-education camp. Yay! Our savior, Obama, believes in education for America. Not just one education, but a second education, re-education. Remember, re-education is free education, just like we promised in our campaign speeches. So that's why we are now activating re-education camps all across America. It's also kind of like free camping for everybody, because at these complimentary camps, which are surrounded with razor wire for your security and comfort, citizens who do not understand Obamism can be taught the principles of compassionate government through a series of lovingly delivered group beatings that we call social therapy. Yay, so much fun to watch that. I love that part. Remember, it takes a village to re-educate some people. And there you have it, the top seven reasons to re-elect Obama. With your help, we can transform America into a whole new Obama nation. Imagine a world with free education, free camping, no more guns in the hands of citizens, free genetically enhanced food for everyone, and an endless supply of loving vaccines that are specifically formulated with mercury to enhance your intelligence so you can think like we do. So vote for Obama in 2012.
Take 41. our illustrious leader Obama is so supportive of genetically modified foods that we... Wait a minute. We're not eating any of these GMOs in our lunch buffet here at the...
You gotta love the First Amendment and free speech. I hope you enjoyed that little animation that we just ran there. Yeah, there's a little bit more to it. There's an outtake at the end that's kind of funny. We're gonna have this posted on YouTube and Natural News shortly, and send it over to the InfoWars team. That video actually does plug InfoWars at the end. Also, it says stop electing tyrants. Vote no Obama in 2012. So it's not a pro Romney video. It's not pro anyone. It just says that look at the track record of Obama. This is obviously not the guy that we want running our government for the next 4 years. I mean, as if we need more grenades sent to the Mexican drug gangs. I'm not sure how that's supposed to help anything. I got a couple other interesting items here. I mean, I know it's been a whirlwind of news today. So just to take a quick breather from that and show you some other interesting stuff. Alex requested me to bring this in. This is a Similac Go and Grow soy-based formula for babies. And if you, let me turn this here so we can get it just right. Oh, here we go. The ingredients we're showing on prisonplanet.tv. Check it out. This is the famous ingredient list right here. 42.6% corn syrup solids. All right, that's infant formula for you. 42.6% corn syrup solids, followed by 14.7% soy protein isolate, followed by some safflower oil, and then another 10% sugar. That's on top of the 42.6%, and then another 8.4% soy oil, and probably genetically modified because most soy is genetically modified. So if you look at the first five ingredients of infant formula sold in America today, four out of the five ingredients are sugars and soy. I mean, come on. Is it any wonder why we have a problem with children having learning disabilities or being diagnosed with the false disease of ADHD or ADD? Is it any wonder why obesity is a problem, why sugar addiction is a problem? This is real, folks. This is not a made-up label. This is right here, the Similac infant formula product. There, yeah, there's the... the front cover. Oh, look, it's got a cute little fuzzy teddy bear on the front right here. Look at that. Oh, the cuddly teddy bear says it must be good for you. And it says right here, soy-based formula, balanced nutrition for older babies, 9 to 24 months with iron. Oh, they put some iron filings in there or something. Great. Have a little iron with your soy and your sugar. It'll make you magnetic. It'll give you like a magnetic soy-based personality. Hey, you could be a trendy. You could actually be your own trendy and star in your own videos of why we should change our light bulbs or something like that. I'm sorry, folks. I cannot sit in this chair without having a little bit of comic relief at some point throughout the show. It's just so intense. Here's something else. Japan diet glasses fool wearers into eating less. Now, these are augmented reality glasses that scan the scene, and then they augment, they have a display in them, so they place a new image, an apparent object on the scene that you're looking at. And the way this works is when you're eating a cookie or a muffin, these augmented glasses make the cookie appear larger so that you eat 10% less because your brain thinks you're eating a larger cookie. And I just got to thinking, wow, the U.S. government could do this with like Social Security checks. Make you think you're getting a larger check. Or they could even make prison food look good with this. There's all kinds of things that they could do with augmented reality glasses. Like, for example, you could be watching the news and they could make you think it's real. Oh, wait a minute. They already do that. It's called CNN and Charlie Rose and everybody else. Charlie Rose, of course, recently at the Bilderberg meeting. I wonder if he will actually even mention Bilderberg on his own show. That would be a question. But if you think about what's going on in the world today, so much of it is just out of control. And then we've got this augmented reality technology coming in, and Google is heavily invested in that. And I think that's a game changer, and not necessarily in a good way. If you think that TVs can program you today, you wait until people are wearing glasses. It's like wearing the internet on your face. And at that point, they're going to be able to feed in advertisements and feed in messages. And you can bet the government's going to have a mandatory circuit for real-time government emergency announcements, which are going to be things like, emergency, there's a terrorist in your neighborhood who's been caught carrying cash. And that family over there hasn't taken their vaccine shots. If you see them, call 911 so we can dispatch vaccine enforcement team people. Vaccine enforcers, yay! That's the voice from the animation you just saw. Yes, Darren's voice was a weird concoction from my studio. In any case, straight ahead, we're getting back into some serious topics with none other than James Yeager, the founder of Tactical Response, a firearms training company that does a lot of training here in the USA. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment, personal defense preparedness, and much more. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Alex Jones Show. Welcome back, everybody. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in today here on the Alex Jones Show. And wow, what an amazing show we've already had. I hope you have enjoyed the ride. A lot more coming your way. We've got InfoWars Nightly News being broadcast tonight, of course, as usual. And then tomorrow on the Alex Jones Show, there's a guest host. What's the name of the guest host, guys? John B. Wells. John B. Wells, yeah, a host for Coast to Coast. He's going to be hosting tomorrow, so I'll be listening into that. And then Alex is going to be back hosting on Wednesday. And of course, lots of breaking news on all fronts. Now in this segment, I've got an amazing guest for you. Truly an amazing guy. Extremely highly respected in the realm of firearms competency, self-defense training, military guys, law enforcement guys, you name it. His name is James Yeager, and he's the founder of Tactical Response, which you can find at tacticalresponse.com. And as many of you know, I've been a strong advocate of people just upping their skills in all kinds of areas, including self-defense skills, and I've been working on that myself as well. Recently took a class with Tactical Response and was just completely blown away by it. Amazing skills, and I encourage everybody out there to check it out for yourself. But he joins us by phone now. James, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Mike, and thanks for those very kind words. I'm flattered. Thank you.
Well, look, I first saw your videos before I ever took your class. And when I saw your videos, immediately I got the impression this is a smart guy who's extremely competent at firearms. You really impressed me as knowing what you're doing. How did you get that kind of experience, James?
Well, I assume you mean the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
It's just, I started shooting when I was young and started competing. I started working undercover as a police officer and continued taking training and more and more and more. And I started a little training school and I continue to train, you know, to this day. I've taken on several hundred hours of training the last couple of years. And it's just, I view firearms as the only true American martial art. I view it as a martial art and I follow it with that level of discipline.
Well, that's a really good point. And by the way, I see for those watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, they have shown your bad dude photo up. Is like you look so. I mean, truly, you're actually a nice guy in person. You don't. I mean, you look very intimidating in this picture, though. But
which one is it? I'm sorry.
That's the one you've got the black shirt with showing your tattoos. You got an AK.
That is in the belly of the Death Star. That is in the parking garage of the NRA Center up in Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And why an AK there for that picture?
That's my trusty AK. I have a truck gun and what better than an AK-47.
Right on. And I see you got your finger trigger safety. You're practicing what you teach there. That's good. So a bunch of questions for you, James, because the audience, of course, here is very much into the Second Amendment and having the right for self-defense. But one of the problems that I see today is a lot of people are buying firearms and they're sticking them on the shelf. And that concerns me. Does it concern you?
Absolutely. And just, you know, Jeff Cooper said, you know, buying a guitar doesn't make you a musician. Buying a gun doesn't make you safer. But the good news is, Mike, that there's an overwhelming number of people going out and getting firearms training. That doesn't match the amount of people that are buying them, but still there are more people coming to train, and that is a good thing.
What kind of trend are you seeing then? For example, is your student roster just jam-packed this year compared to, let's say, 2 years ago? Or what's the story?
Well, 2008, 2009, 2010, 25% growth each year. 2011, 50% growth. And we're looking at another 25% this year.
Wow. Wow. So you've more than doubled in just a few years. That's incredible. And I noticed that the class I took from you, you weren't teaching. You have instructors that are teaching. How many instructors do you have that are fanning out across the nation to teach people competency in firearms?
Well, I've got a small cadre of full-time guys. There's four of us full-time. And then I've got a huge adjunct number of guys that come in to help from time to time on different schools and classes and stuff like that. So I've got about 20 guys all together. And last year, that was enough to train 3,110 people.
Wow, that's huge. How many rounds of ammo were fired through all of that? A few million rounds.
Yeah, probably close to 3 million. Probably.
Incredible. Speaking of millions of rounds, by the way, here's something I want to ask you. A lot of people are concerned when they saw the Department of Homeland Security buying up a contract they awarded for 450 million rounds of hollow point 40 caliber, mostly pistol ammo, of course. Plus, on top of that, lots of contracts for .223 and a lot of other things. I noticed in your class, when I was in your class, a lot of guys were talking about that. Do you hear a lot of people just chatting about that they're concerned about those kinds of things today? What do you hear?
Absolutely concerned about that. You know, we have all these economic crises that can hit us from either side. There are people, there are mutterings of martial law, and that's what that ammo might be for. So there's a lot of skepticism, and there's a lot of people that have concerns, they come to class all the time.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, though, I think it's important to point out that your school trains a lot of law enforcement, a lot of undercover cops. In fact, I've got a history of volunteering and being involved with law enforcement in Arizona and helping those guys out there. But the law enforcement that I see in your classes are guys who are also, with the program. They're like, we're not giving up our guns. And they're the cops.
Absolutely not. And, I believe they're going to have to bring a foreign military in to snatch our guns away from us. But by and large, the people that show up at our classes are patriotic American citizens, and they believe that the Second Amendment does not give us the right to keep and bear arms, that God does, and the Second Amendment recognizes that.
Right. You're exactly right. No, I'm really glad you pointed that out, because the Bill of Rights, all it does is codifies the natural God-given rights that
right.
we are born with.
Yeah, just defines them and outlines them and puts them in a spotlight, that's all.
But of course, the global agenda is more about, well, they'd like people to be more disarmed because it's so much easier to corral them. Yeah, exactly. Like, look at JPFO, just as a classic example, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO. You know, they realized that if the Jewish victims of the Holocaust had firearms, they could have perhaps defeated Hitler and avoided the loss of, I don't know how many million lives.
Right, absolutely.
Let's talk about gun myths for a minute, because a lot of people approach firearms, they have a lot of mythology surrounding it. For example, people like to use cars for shelter when they're getting shot at. Tell us about why that doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because cars don't stop bullets, effectively. If you walk down beside a car and you fired 10 handgun rounds through it, 6 or 7 are probably going to get through it as you walk down the side of that car. And the thing is that I'm not a very lucky person. I don't buy lottery tickets. And so depending on luck to protect me by getting behind a car is going to probably be not one of my last choices.
Yeah, you'd rather rely on skills and training, it sounds like.
Right.
And good equipment as well.
Absolutely. You know, if I can cut you off there, Mike,
yeah.
The hierarchy of survival principles, 4 items, mindset is at the top, then tactics, then skill, and then gears at the bottom. You have to have good gear, but it's the least important aspect of your survival.
Absolutely. And by the way, for those who want to read your blog, I believe that is getoffthex.com. Is that the correct URL?
Yeah, getoffthex.com. I've got a Facebook page. We're on YouTube. I mean, it's pretty easy to find us.
All right. Just search for James Yeager, and the spelling of his last name is Y-E-A-G-E-R, correct?
Yeah, just like Chuck.
Okay, right on. And then the main training website is tacticalresponse.com. And, there are a lot of great training schools out there as well. Yeah. Do you have any others that you would also recommend as just being good quality schools?
The the list goes on. You know, like I said, I continue to take training. Clint Smith out at Thunder Ranch, Clint and Heidi Smith run a great school out there in Oregon, Thunder Ranch. I was out there and took a high-angle rifle class last year. Craig Douglas, known as South Narc on the Internet, does some extremely good stuff. I mean, this is like a renaissance period for firearms and tactical training. There are a lot of guys doing a lot of really good stuff. Larry Vickers, I consider to be a friend. He does some really good classes, former Delta Force guy. There's just a bunch of great stuff going on.
Yeah, and also more and more women I'm seeing in the classes as well. Have you noticed that also?
Yeah, absolutely. We went from having about 0% women to now classes are about 15 or 20% women.
Wow, that's incredible. It's awesome to see some of them are really very quite accurate and very skilled as well.
What's funny is it used to be the women we saw were dragged there by their husbands. More and more now, we're seeing husbands dragged there by their wives. And so that's an interesting turn.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing I really love about your information is because you do so much training, because you see so many rounds fired down range, you also get to look at what equipment works and what equipment doesn't work. And I want to ask you, what handguns don't fall apart at the range? Because I've seen people bring stuff, it just breaks after a couple hundred rounds.
Listen, there's a lot of great stuff, a lot of good guns being built. Glocks, I'm a Glock guy, you know, that's just the way it goes. Smith & Wesson M&P, finally there's an American-made gun that I can depend my life on. So the M&P line is, even in rifles, it's fantastic. SIG makes great pistols. I really like those. I mean, there's you know, Ruger, of course, another American-made company. Ruger guns are typically a little heavier and stuff like that, but they're workhorses. They actually work. So there's a lot of really good guns. If you're going to pin me down to handguns, I'm going to say Glock or Smith & Wesson. You know.
Yeah. You're the reason why I went to Glock 19, actually, and doing very well with that, with the big dot sight on it too. What about the 1911s? I know it's highly debatable. These guys love their 1911s. They bring into a class and they jam up or whatever. Are you okay to talk about your take on 1911s?
Absolutely. I get a lot of hate over this. basically, John Moses Browning was a genius, absolute genius. And there's not a handgun design today that doesn't have some kind of DNA from one of Browning's design. So I want to just start out with, I pay homage to John Moses Browning. However, the 1911 was designed during a time when craftsmen hand-fitted guns together. And it is a gun that simply does not lend itself well to modern machining practices, CNC, EDM, MIM, and things like that. For instance, quote-unquote, drop-in parts. And so we have a gun that was supposed to be built by craftsmen now being built on a mass production scale, and things like stacking tolerances, you engineers know what I'm talking about. These things just begin to add up, and they just don't work well.
And what does that translate into? Jams or malfunctions? What?
Yeah, well, they don't call them jams. They say, oh, that wasn't a malfunction. That was a failure to feed, or that was a failure to eject. But anytime you press the trigger and the gun's got bullets in it, it doesn't work. There's a problem. Now, there are some guys that can build guns. John Jardine out in California built a gun you can depend your life on. You know, Wilson Combat, my buddies over there at Wilson, they can build a 1911 that runs. Jim Garthwaite up in Pennsylvania, that guy can build 1911s that work. There are craftsmen that can still do it, but there are very few of them.
Yeah, good point. But so then in terms of mass manufacturing, the Glocks, of course, are legendary. The M&P now, what's the story about the mushy trigger reset on the M&P? Is that solved yet?
But that is much ado about nothing.
Really? I haven't fired one of those, so I haven't felt it.
Well, you know, people say to me, I can shoot, for instance, they'll say, I can shoot a SIG really good, but man, when I shoot a Glock, I'm all over the place. I think that's silly, and if we change the brands on that, you would too. If I said to you, I can drive a Dodge straight down the road, but you put me behind a Ford, I'm running off in a ditch, I'm hitting mailboxes.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. The sight's the trigger, you know, gas pedal, steering wheel, you know, either you can shoot or you can't.
Right. Let's talk about, okay, America is unique in the world in that such a high percentage of its population is trained in firearms, is competent in firearms. Would you agree that that helps protect America from possible foreign invaders or foreign agendas? I mean, America is going to be a tough country to try to overrun.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you go back to World War II, you know, the Japanese wouldn't even consider coming onto our shores because they said there was a rifle behind every blade of grass. And certainly that's a problem. Now, I don't know what the numbers are now, but I heard that over 50,000 AR-15s alone were going into civilian hands every month 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
Wow.
I know production has increased. What's it, 100,000 a month?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just AR-15s.
Yeah, that's incredible. It doesn't count all the pistols. But it's also regional. So you've got obviously a lot of firearms competency in Texas, in Tennessee, in North Carolina, in, you know, the Southern Belt, in Florida even as well, Arizona, many places. But then you've got these pockets of like Massachusetts, for example, where they have all these crazy laws about guns. So that population is going to be very easy to invade, it would seem like.
It's funny, I've got a lot of friends at the NRA. The NRA was started on Long Island, New York after the Civil War to keep the marksmanship skills of Northern troops up in case those pesky rebels acted up. And so that the irony is if there is any kind of other rebellious activity, it's probably going to be a majority of NRA members that are doing it. So, and I think that is that's geographically independent. I have shooters. I just taught a class in West Virginia. We had some guys from Maine there. We had some guys from Connecticut there. They were shooters. Can their neighbor shoot? I don't know. But I live in Tennessee, and not everybody here can shoot either. But the guys that are serious about it, I think it doesn't really depend on where they live. I mean, I've got some of my top shooters are Canadian and New Yorkers.
Really?
Yeah, that are absolute tacticians, absolute shooters.
Wow, that's interesting. What about the collapse scenarios that people talk about? A lot of people are living in the cities. They're afraid of, let's say, a riot, a collapse of social order or an economic collapse. They're worried about how they can survive a city or get out of a city with a bug-out bag and a firearm, how they can safely get their family out. Is that something you hear a lot of people talking about?
All the time. I get couples in class all the time. And I'm about to say, hey, why are you guys here? And they'll begin to say something about, heard you had a good reputation, blah, blah, blah. And I go, no, why are you taking any class? And they say, well, and they kind of they're embarrassed to say, but, we've got a little extra food at our house, and we've got, some medical supplies at our house, and we bought these guns just in case something happens, and we don't know how to use them. And so these conversations happen in every single class. And it's people coming to the classes that think they're the weirdos because their family makes fun of them, their friends make fun of them for preparing. And then they get around us and we go, oh, yeah, we all do that. And so they feel at home.
Yeah, exactly. Well the other thing, though, too, is Americans, I know you've worked outside the country. I mean, you've served outside the country. Americans they tend to vastly underestimate the depths of human intention when there's a war, when there's bad things going on in society. You know how low some people can go if they're desperate and starving and vicious, right? I mean,
absolutely. I just want to, make sure everybody's clear. You said served. I've never been in the military.
I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure everybody, everybody understands. But yeah, social decay is a very wicked thing. And, even if we look at, Katrina, some of the that were happening down there, some of the things that were happening in the Houston Astrodome, I, for one, did not want to be dependent on FEMA to protect me and my family.
Yeah.
And so these are real, legitimate concerns.
Well, that's the other side of this, too, is that there's it on the left side of the political spectrum, they try to paint gun owners as being just crazy, violent people. And in fact, the opposite is true. They're the ones that want to restore peace and nonviolence to social situations.
If we were as crazy as they said we were, they wouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go to break, James. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with much more here on The Alex Jones Show. We're back here on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams filling in today in our final segment here, joined by James Yeager, the founder of Tactical Response. They are a firearms training school, just a very large school offering training in many different states across the United States. And, the thing is, there's a lot of bickering in the industry. There's a lot of competitiveness and aggressiveness among different schools who offer different types of training. But look, I've learned something in every class that I've ever taken on firearms, and I learned a lot from taking the tactical response firearms class here in Austin not too long ago. So, James, isn't it funny that people like to argue about little fine details? Meanwhile, most of the population just needs some basic training, right?
I'm kind of one of the few instructors that actually tells people, hey, go to these other places, you know, and because I think if you're walking that true martial arts path, you've got to do that. But, it's more relevant that they get some training than what training they actually get. You know, I mean, even the most basic NRA pistol class will, you know, have you becoming a safe and responsible shooter.
Yeah. Well, the thing that you taught me the most, or your class, is to move. Just move, because most guys stand there in front of a paper target and just shoot off rounds, and they reload standing still. They do everything standing still. They clear jams standing still. They're just a target waiting to get shot.
Well, you probably heard this in class, but it's more important to not be shot than it is to shoot the bad guy.
Right.
And another little acronym we use for the word move is motionless operators ventilate easily.
Nice. Good acronym there. Yeah, one of your instructors actually had a cattle prod that he was going to start using on us if we didn't start moving. Very effective. The other thing that I learned from your class and others is, you know, there's a myth that if you shoot somebody once, that's over. They just fall and die like they do on TV and Hollywood movies. Why is that not true, James?
Well, I mean, there's a difference. First off, there's a difference between lethality and incapacitation. People say things like, well, more people are killed with 22s than anything else, and so they carry a 22. The problem is, you can deliver that lethal wound to a guy, he's bleeding to death. He'll bleed to death in 11 minutes, but he is stabbing you to death while he is bleeding to death. And so you have to, you know, have a balance of lethality. Now, all handguns suck. I don't care what caliber it is. It is terrible fight stopper. So you know, 9 or 45 are the calibers I recommend, and put them where they belong, high center chest or right to the brain box.
Yeah, exactly. There's a big debate about, you know, is 9mm strong enough or powerful enough to be effective at self-defense? And as you teach, of course it is if you put it where it needs to go.
I assure you, it will kill people.
Yeah, end of sentence. Enough said right there. But again, I want to, you know, the context of this interview for everybody listening and watching is about restoring order to your community, protecting your household, protecting your family, protecting your neighborhood. If things go wrong out there, law enforcement is going to be spread so thin, they may be completely incapacitated. I mean, I'm sure you hear that from cops in your class.
Well, I mean, let's just look at history. Look at the LA riots. The shopkeepers that stood up for themselves didn't get their shops burned down.
Right.
The ones that didn't have you know, any protection got their shops burned down. It's just that simple.
Well, yeah, and again, this is about having the skills to be part of the solution. So you may be working with local sheriffs. They may deputize you and say, help protect us from this gang of looters that's burning down houses, things like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely could happen, especially in the South. They'll deputize anybody.
Just show some competency and, you know, operate with ethics, folks. That's the thing. Operate with ethics and you know, defend the innocent, protect law and your rights. Well, James, sorry to cut you off there. We're about out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thanks for having me. And if you ever have any of the firearms questions or anything, I'd love to come back on.
Absolutely, James. And the website is tacticalresponse.com. You get great training there, so check that out, everybody. Thanks for having me on today, Alex, and everybody, the whole crew. An incredible show. Thanks for tuning in. Spread the word. This is Mike Adams signing off from InfoWars in Austin, Texas. Take care.